Thank you, Steve. Hi, everybody. If you were listening to the Crosstalk, this won't shock you the way it'll shock others. But Wendy's not here today, but Dane Neal is. Dane, thanks for sitting in on short notice. We really appreciate it.
Well, when it comes to trying to fill in the large, very comfortable and always stylish shoes of Wendy Snyder, you need somebody who kind of understands, spend a little bit of time in the mind of Wendy.
Right.
So that I can answer, and I'll do this as much as I can, as Wendy would.
Would you do that for us?
I'll do my best.
That would be tremendous. Thank you for doing that. That would mean, now we're already 34 seconds into the show, you've not slammed Steve Bertrand even once yet. What's wrong with you?
I'm still reviewing my notes.
All right.
I like your shoes.
Fava, $14.99.
Fava!
Wendy does have, and I know other people who do this to some extent, but no one more than our friend Wendy. Whenever you say anything complimentary about her clothes, she will thank you and then within a half a second tell you how much she paid and where she got them.
You know what, Bill? It's her way of giving back.
Yep.
So it's one thing to go ahead and just accept a compliment and maybe keep all of that greatness to yourself. But here's the way. Look, you appreciate what I do. Now you do it yourself. Get over to Fava.
Go over to Fava.
Some shows tell people cheap gaps prices, but
right.
Not here.
Not in this room.
No. Where'd you get those loafers, sunshine?
You made quite an entrance this morning, by the way. Dane came into the office and quoted the great Jimmy Durante upon his entrance. It's always, anytime you enter a room, you want people to notice, but Dane, you came in saying, do you remember what?
Well, personally, I said, ha-cha-cha.
Ha-cha-cha as you walked into the room.
Personally, if you have not attained the, when you enter a room or anytime your name is mentioned, the great preceding it, then what you do is you just tap into somebody who's there as that inspirational kind of spirit animal.
And you chose?
Jimmy Durante.
Jimmy Durante. Now, Steve, I know you weren't in there for this, but it was fun for me because I, like you, a big fan of the Schnozzes. I like the Schnozzes' work.
Carl Malden, the whole club.
Kevin, on the other hand, our producer Kevin, although he seemed to enjoy your entrance with a da-da-da-da, he then asked, who is Jimmy Durante?
I was just kidding. I know who he is.
You know who Jimmy Durante is. Tell us again, Kevin.
He was a guy. He had funny taglines like ha-cha-cha.
Yep. That's the guy.
I thought he was going to go with, just like people may say, Paul Newman. Oh, yeah, the guy from the salad dressing. I thought he was going to say the star of Frosty the Snowman.
Yeah, I think most people Kevin's age, for all the fine work that Jimmy Durante did over the years, it would be his, there must have been some magic in the old silk hat they found. That's where they know Jimmy Durante from.
That's enduring.
You didn't let me finish because I was going to say that.
You were going to get to that one?
Once you make it into those Christmas, because they rotate, they don't make a ton of new ones. The old ones are still good. You're immortal if you can make it into those. Burl Ives.
Yeah.
Boom. He did so much work. Remember all the great work he did?
Oh, yes.
You just think about Christmas specials.
All that work.
All the work. Well,
all
actually.
Guest TV appearances he did.
Cat on a Hot Tin Roof. He was in that, and he was really good in that. And then a bunch of albums, like folk albums and stuff. So he had a body of work other than just being Sam the Snowman.
You know it.
Christmas time.
Right, but when he assumed the body of Sam the Snowman,
that's when
immortal.
It took off. Yep. That's when it took off. It's funny that you mentioned Paul Newman because I'll never forget when he died, getting the news on our couch. I'm in the living room. The four of us are there, my wife and my two daughters and I, and they announced that actor Paul Newman has died, and I got incredibly sad because I loved Paul Newman like crazy.
Great actor.
For so many reasons. He was Paul Newman, for heaven's sakes. And my daughter said, who is this? And I said, well, he was the star of The Sting. And they didn't know. And I said, and Cool Hand Luke. And they didn't know. And Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid.
Ugh.
And this went on for 25 minutes. And then my wife finally said, the guy in the lemonade box. And they got very sad,
too. I know. See, that's why you need to be careful how you diversify your image.
Yes.
Now, he did so many great things with all of those products. I think 100% of it went to charity or something like that. And but still, right, you're redefining for that next generation who you are. And the reason I even brought it up, because in a similar conversation, not with a daughter trying to explain who Paul Newman was, and it got down to the salad dressing guy. Oh, that guy. Right, there you go.
Every once in a while, Henry Winkler is on some commercial, and I can't remember what the product is, but
it's a reverse mortgage. Yes, it is.
It's geared toward older people.
Sure it is.
Right? So there's Henry Winkler, and he's explaining to people the benefits of a reverse mortgage. And I said to Kylie one time when that commercial came on, that's Henry Winkler. He used to be Fonzie, the coolest guy in all the land.
Absolutely.
And my daughter said, I don't believe you. That's not the coolest guy. And I go, well, he isn't right now, but there was a time. I had a T-shirt, and I hope I'm not the only person who had this. I had one of those T-shirts that was a cartoon of Fonzie with thumbs up in the air, and it said, A-Y-Y-Y-Y-Y on the top. A. And I wore that if I was going to impress a girl at a roller skating party. I thought, what better way to do it than
fend off a prospective bully?
Right.
That you were both, right, you were both that. Right. How does it go? It's like women want him and men want to be him. Right. Or fear him. And Fonzie had all of those. Plus, he was really handy. You remember if the jukebox was ever on the Fritz?
Just a quick boom. That's all. And it's working again. But what prospective thug would even bother me or even think of bothering me if I had an A t-shirt? They'd know I mean business.
And that you were friends of the Fonz because he took care of his pals.
Always.
Yep.
Always. That's a given. All right. We have a full show for you today. Stick around. If you want to jump in, we'd love to hear from you. Our number and text line are the same, 312-981-7200. It's Bill and Dane in for Wendy on WGN. It's Bill Left and it's Dane Neal. Dane is sitting in for Wendy. Wendy will actually be in later on, Dane. So don't get too comfortable, but don't get too comfortable.
I'm hovering over my chair in a squat position.
Wendy does the same thing for different reasons. I'm on the text line right now, and somebody has texted in a picture of the exact same shirt that I wore when, as a child, and sometimes still today, I want to appear cool. If I wanted to impress a girl, I would wear my Fonzie t-shirt. It's a caricature of Mr. Winkler in Fonz garb, and then the letters A. Now in my head it was A Y Y Y Y Y, but on this shirt it's the letter A five times and then the letter Y for A. Very cool.
Wow, when you know that the show is having an impact, and of course Happy Days. I'm sure you can watch it on. I'm sure it's on all over
it's
the place.
It's always on
24/7. But when you're creating new catchphrases and words that become part of the lexicon of language,
yes,
you know you're doing something because it had A. Then remember, sit on it.
Sit on it was big.
Yeah.
Funny as a crutch, Rich.
I don't.
Spoken by the immortal Ralph Malph.
Oh, that's right,
he would
Ralph
say that
Malph.
From time to time. Now somebody else is telling us 720 area code is that their cool shirt was almost identical, but it was Mork, Robin Williams from Mork and Mindy.
Nice.
And then the word Shazbot was written above it. I cool, but not as cool as the Fonz shirt.
No, because because Fonzie was the physical embodiment of cool. That was his role. I mean, the script, it just said, be cool. That's
be
all it
cool.
said. I think he just winged it, improvised right. the whole time. Hey, when needed.
Do you remember, now, as ridiculous as the show Happy Days was when you stop and think about it, I mean, it was fine entertainment, but it wasn't realistic, gritty television. There was a Christmas episode where Arthur Fonzarelli told the Cunninghams that he would be spending Christmas with his family when in reality he was just by himself. And the Cunninghams realized this and invited him over to their house, and then he spent it with the Cunninghams. And if you didn't tear up during that episode, have your tear ducts checked because something's wrong.
they could be plugged.
They might be.
Well, I think with all of those, and although it was entertainment and, you know, and light base in it, but there was a moral to every story.
Oh, always.
You know, always. You know, whether it was relationships with those Cunninghams, whether it was dating advice, whether it was, you know, how to handle adversity in the workplace.
Yes.
Right? You know,
yes.
How to get away from the health department if,
yes.
if you were Al.
Yep. So true. Now, Kevin, a quick chance for you to win $100.
Wow.
Are you in on this?
Oh, I'm ready.
All right. $100. No Googling. We're watching you to Google this. Because Dane entered into our office this morning with the phrase,
ha-cha-cha.
A salute to Jimmy Durante. No, and none of us need to know why you did that. That's not important.
It was an homage.
It was, right, a tribute to Jimmy Durante. These are troubled times, ladies and gentlemen. The world is changing. And Dane, if you can bring a little happiness into people's lives, why wouldn't you? All right. So again, Kevin, I will hand you $100. Now, I only get $20 a day. You know that. My wife gives me $20 to spend every day.
So maybe an installment.
Sure,
but
that's okay.
Over the next week, I will hand you my $20 every day. If you can give me the next three words to this sentence, this
okay.
Jimmy Durante sentence, it starts out with, good night, Mrs. Calabash.
And have two more.
Judges?
That was four words, actually.
That was
Jimmy
four
Ray
words.
Loved the three-day weekend, and so there you go.
Will you be shocked to learn you just didn't win $100?
Not shocked at all.
Good night, Mrs. Calabash. Do you know the answer to that one?
No.
Steve, do you?
No, I don't.
The correct answer, wherever you are.
Oh.
He would say that at the end of his performances.
Every one or just the one that you happen to be referencing?
Are you sure he never said I'd have two more? I think I saw that on a shirt somewhere, maybe. I don't
so,
know.
Again, that phrase would be, good night, Mrs. Calabash.
And have two more.
And have two more, yeah.
I'll look it up, but I'm pretty sure he never ended a show with that. It's possible.
Maybe
it was a three-day engagement.
All right. Nothing's out of the ordinary. Let's talk to Sarah. Sarah, thank you for calling in. How are you?
I am fine. How are you guys?
Excellent. Excellent. You have a similar story to the ones we were just telling, don't you?
Oh, yeah. It was one of my first ones. It just, I was just devastating.
What happened?
I worked for IBM and had gotten an award, and I was at the awards conference to Disney World. And
yeah.
We had meetings before, and the first meeting, I had no idea. I was kind of bummed why I got. Why I have to go to a meeting at, Disney World. First thing is the spotlight goes on, and there's a guitar and a big bass fiddle. And next thing I hear, the introduction to the Smothers Brothers.
Oh, cool, the Smothers Brothers.
They were amazing. And at lunch, I was up in the room with, it was just a random roommate from IBM. She was very, very young.
Yeah.
And I said, "Weren't the Smothers Brothers great?" And she said, "Yeah, but who are they?"
Who are the Smothers Brothers?
Yeah.
Really? So what do you do in a case like that?
Well, I told her, but I just want to add on something, an icing to this cake. Kevin didn't know who they were either.
Oh, Kevin.
Come on.
Sarah, really? You're going to throw me under the bus
Neither
like that?
Neither of the Smothers. You can't name one of the two Smothers Brothers?
Joe and John.
Joe and John are not the Smothers Brothers.
Everyone knows it's Todd and Barry.
Right. Oh, that's upsetting, isn't it, Sarah? They're geniuses.
I do want to throw you under the bus one for a minute there.
Sure.
It's as funny as a rubber crotch.
Oh, well, wait. All right. So who would say that? Would that be Potsy or Ralph?
I think it was Ralph, but it wasn't funny as a crutch.
It was funny as a rubber crutch.
Oh, that adds some humor to the crutch situation.
Makes it even crazier. Yeah, it does. Sarah, sorry, Kevin. Sarah, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Take care. Have a great weekend.
Bye-bye. Thanks. You too. Bye-bye. Sure.
See, it's a double-edged sword, Bill, because let's say you're the Smothers Brothers. Let's say you're one of these acts that had, a heyday at the time and then are trying to find a way to resonate with
to reinvigorate your career.
You have this opportunity. You can go brand new. You could be the Smothers. They could be a mariachi band now.
Right.
They could do things they always want to do, country, western.
No, there's no doubt about that.
I don't know what they could do, but I think the future's wide open.
For the Smothers Brothers.
For the Smothers Brothers.
Sure it is. I saw them in Las Vegas when I had been in college during that. Probably right after college, they were performing somewhere. They were fantastic. I love them.
Well, they're complete pros. And for people that, and this is rare, right? Where you have, there's a lot of people that you have out there that, reach some levels of success or are great or acclaimed, as we talked about yesterday. But they really had kind of a unique place in history, like on the TV comedy.
So
pushing some envelopes. And I mean, people still remember all that.
They were so political, and CBS, the network that carried them, didn't know what to do with them because every week there'd be just floods of letters about a sketch that they did or something they said. Their writers included Pat Paulson. I'm sure Kevin can do a whole dissertation on the work of Pat Paulson over the years.
His Pat Paulson T-shirt on.
I saw that.
Hey.
Pat Paulson for president.
Pat Paulson for every 4 years he'd run for president. Rob Reiner got his start with the Smothers Brothers, and a comedian you may have heard of, Steve Martin, actually got his start with the Smothers Brothers.
They were as big as it could get at that point, and in that day and age, there wasn't all these outlets for content or ways for groups or acts or personalities to reach the public. It was really a very small avenue, and if the network did not, they could pretty much keep you off the air, and you were pretty
that
much
was
done.
It. Yeah. Yeah. Oh yeah, they got so much heat for the things they said and did in the 60s. I just want to, just one more quick T-shirt reference. I was saying that when I was a kid, if I wanted to be cool, I should have said cooler, shouldn't I?
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's be honest here on the show.
Even cooler.
If I wanted to, if that's possible, I would just throw on my Fonzie T-shirt, and boy, it worked miracles. So somebody, a texter, said that their cool go-to T-shirt was a Van Halen shirt, that they would wear that to parties to get girls. And it said in one particular instance, he lost out to somebody who had a Bugs Bunny T-shirt instead of the Van Halen. I like that girl. That's a smart girl.
Although music is an attractor on many levels, also humor is one of those, I think, common denominators that the ladies love.
So true.
My go-to shirt was a Planet of the Apes shirt that had like a plastic applique on the front.
And that's nice.
You don't see that every day.
Mine was one that was a light blue shirt, and it said, "Too much of a good thing is great."
Whose quote is that? I know that quote.
I don't know. It just was around in the late 70s.
Sounds
early
like
80s.
Something Jimmy Durante would say.
Jimmy Durante. It all comes full circle, Kevin. It all comes full circle. All right, let's do this. We need to take a break. We've got news coming next and then a lot more after that. Dane Neal sitting in for Wendy. Jump in at 312-981-7200. It's WGN. Steve, thanks so much. It's Bill Leff, and then it's Dane Neal. Dane is sitting in for Wendy for the first half of the show. Now, listen to this. Wendy was scheduled to take the entire day off today, but because Steve from Blue's Clues is on in the second half, she's coming in, and I don't blame her.
Well, you know, hey, when there's an opportunity like that, you got to capitalize. You got to move.
Right? Jump.
You snooze, you lose.
Right. You might as well jump. Van Halen was right, as it turned out.
Put the shirt on.
For anyone who is married currently or has been married or has gone through the process, you've probably had a version of this conversation. The man and the woman sit down and they talk about what their married life will be. And then at some point they say, hey, what about the names? What are we going to do about the last names? Will you, the man saying to the woman, take my last name, or should we hyphenate the name, or should we just come up with a new name? What do we want to do? Right? Did you went through this with Esther or not? Did she have your last name or her own maiden name?
No, she does.
She took your last name.
Yes, of course.
I almost took your last name. I
gave it to her. Glad I'm like, here.
That was your gift.
Enjoy. Right. You know what? It's so weird because it is not the kind of thing that you necessarily, I don't think you talk about much until you're to that point of where you've got to officially, you know, people got to start having checking, you know, you have to somehow have an official record of somebody and who are you anyway?
Right.
Because, and people have some attachments to it that are, can be really, really offended, or some people are really sincere about the need to keep, you know, a family name. I think there's a few different situations where it's okay. You know, some mitigating circumstances, if you will. Let's say you're super famous and, you know, taking the new name of, you know, Jugglebowski, you know, when you're, you know, Joe Lightning would really impact your ability.
You've already established something with that name. Why water it down? Why change it if people know you by a name? I've always thought that. My wife, there was almost no discussion when we got married. My wife's an actress, and she, as we said, had already established a career with her name. And she has a cool sounding last name anyway. So she said, that won't disturb you or bother you at all if I kept my last name. And I said, no, why would it at all? And actually, when we found out we were having kids, I said, I'd be fine with them even having your last name. She's got a better last name than I do. So I thought if you wanted to give them your last, I'm okay with that.
For you to be able to recognize that and you guys to come to terms, because sometimes it doesn't necessarily matter. There's just these ultimatums of it needs to be this way, or this is the way it's done, or this way. Or maybe the pressures from other members of the family. Like somehow you're being slighted if you let that happen.
Right.
It never came down to that. For me, I don't know exactly how I feel about it. Honestly, you know, I would kind of, you would almost, I guess if you had that conversation and you could come up with some reasons why, or maybe let's say understandably, if you have a name that's, and everybody, you know, a certain amount of people get saddled with names that maybe they're not happy with, right? And maybe this is like, wow, thank goodness, you know, I'm getting a new name. Some people marry into sillier names than they had in the first place.
Right.
But I think if you sit down and you kind of come to terms with it, you can do it. But I think a lot of people would feel, I think a lot of guys would feel kind of that's
emasculating in some respect.
I don't know that it wouldn't be like you're not fully embracing, you know, the relationship because that's a traditional thing that you do. I mean, obviously things can change and there's different reasons. I think a lot of people feel that way. Maybe in this day and age they don't.
Yeah.
Kevin, I know you're recently married. Was there any kind of discussions on this or was it for sure that you guys would both be taking the name Durante?
Sarah has your last name, right?
She's going. She hasn't gone through the motions yet, but she will. Well, she, because we run into complications with like taking flights and things like that. If the names don't match, from what I understand, it can cause complications.
Sure.
So, she has yet to do it, but she said she plans on it.
See, that's what you do. You throw in rules and regulations, saying, "Hey, it's not me."
Right.
You know, we're gonna have problems with the airlines if you don't get on board here.
Right. There is certainly a reason that I've brought this up. There's a story that has reminded me of all this, but I want to throw this into the mix really quickly. First, it's become very fashionable now to hyphenate. You know, it's a bonding of one family to another, so you get a hyphenated name, which is great. I have nothing against that at all. Why wouldn't you do that? But my fear is, as time goes on, if the guy has a hyphenated name and the woman has a hyphenated name and they get married, all of a sudden you have four last names. And if this continues, there's not going to be time for people to go outside because they'll just be saying their name all day.
Or if you work in one of those vocations that either has a, you know, a patch or a name tag,
right,
makes it difficult for whoever's producing those to keep up.
Although we've become such a lazy society, afraid to work out, maybe having a heavy name tag like that is actually considered a workout for some people.
Like a name plaque.
Right.
It's good wearable cardio. Name plaque.
Here's the reason that I bring this up. And if you want to jump in, we invite you. You know that, 312-981-7200. There's a guy named Ryan Holton Murphy. He lives in Wauwatosa, Wisconsin.
He already has a hyphenated name?
His name, yeah. He already has two names. Ryan and, as we said, Holton-Murphy. He, like I said, lives over there in Wisconsin, just north of us. You would guess that being there, he has some allegiance to the Green Bay Packers, and you would be right. Huge, huge Packer fan.
You're obligated.
Yeah, it's almost a state law in Wisconsin. If you like any other team, it's not good for your health.
Not good for you.
Like the Green Bay Packers if you live in Wisconsin. He meets and falls in love with a Chicagoan, a woman whose first name is Marie, and her last name is Packer.
Ooh.
They are engaged. They are getting married. And when they get married, Ryan Holton Murphy and Marie Packer, Ryan Holton Murphy, a huge Packer fan, has decided that his best play is to take his wife's name of Packer, because he's a Packer fan. And now what better tribute to his favorite team than this?
That is interesting. An extra lure on the relationship side.
Right.
I think that could be a whole extra web. Forget match.com. It's go to like matchupthename.com. Here's what you do is you find the person out there that's perfect for you, 29, 30. I don't know how many little elements of compatibility. And then you find out what it is that is. And then you just name yourself that. And they will just come
right.
calling.
Right. It's easy, isn't it? The wedding of Ryan Holton Murphy and of Wisconsin and Chicago's Marie Packer will take place this June here in Chicago. But like we said, it's going against tradition because he is taking the last name of Packer, his favorite team. I had a similar incident when I married Terry because her last name, Dane, as you know, is Pop-Tart.
Oh, I thought it was Pez Dispenser. That must have been an old girlfriend.
It's hyphenated. It's Terry Pop-Tart Pez Dispenser.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
Sounds like royalty, doesn't it?
It does.
Holton Murphy said that when he met Marie Packer in 2014 and she told him her last name, he thought that she was joking. But after a quick check of her ID... which I highly recommend you do. If you're ever on a date with a woman that you think you might be in love with, the first move that you want to do is make sure her ID is accurate.
So what's your name? Let me see.
Right.
Can you
just sit here, sit tight for a few minutes while I run this through the boys in the lab, make sure everything's up to snuff? He realized upon checking her ID that it was a match made in green and gold heaven. When they got engaged last year, Holton Murphy knew what he was going to do after exchanging vows. To be totally honest, it's Packer, and it seems like a no-brainer. My two favorite things in the world are her and the Green Bay Packers. Let me take a time out to say to him, who's probably not listening, the smartest thing you will ever do in your life is to put them in the order that you did. If asked what are your two most favorite things in the world, he did this properly, her and the Green Bay Packers. Had he done it the other way, trouble at home.
What about God and country? Those are always listed in there somewhere.
They're in the top 10. They're in the top 10. I don't mind at all, his fiancée Marie Packer said. I was like, sure, babe, it's all yours. Why not? Holton Murphy said he's not looking forward to being called. Oh, I'm sorry. He is looking forward to being called Mr. Packer. That's like a dream. Think about that. You're a Green Bay Packer fan, and everywhere you go all day, every day, you're Mr. Packer.
Which, of course, is also one of the highest level bodybuilding titles that you can get in the state.
Mr. Packer.
As well. You know what, Bill, I wonder, and this is where we kind of keep up on things. There can be things that draw people into a relationship and kind of lock them into it. Maybe it's a big, bunch of money, right? Maybe it's an insurance policy. Who knows?
Happens.
I wonder how long, maybe it's the name, and I wonder how long this relationship lasts, because you know what? Maybe in the divorce decree, and it's going to have, 50% is, it's going to happen, and he's going to try to keep the name. You keep the stuff. I keep the name.
Right. That seems fair.
Mr. Packer, forever.
All right. Now, Dane, trust me when I say this, because it's not in the story. I have combed it up and down. I've looked everywhere in the story to make sure whether or not this is mentioned. Side bet, are the Packers, the soon-to-be Packer family, wearing Green Bay Packer jerseys at the wedding, or are they not?
Ooh. I mean, You see those online and you cringe and you wonder who are those people.
It's always the husband in the home jersey and the wife in the away jersey, always.
How do you get talked to? But sometimes it's the ladies that, like, yeah, you know, they're just nutty and they want that. I would opt for, especially if you, let's say you have this allegiance to the team or the colors, just go with some tasteful green and gold tuxedos.
That's the way to be.
Maybe a bright mustard colored wedding dress. You know,
Bill Blass does wonders with the green and gold tuxes. You can't go wrong with them.
You know he does. And then stay away from the uniforms, because you know what? I think at the bottom line is they're not flattering on most people. If you've ever tried to wear those football pants and your figure's not, I'm just saying.
The texts are coming in. If you want to text us or call us, we're at 312-981-7200, telling you the tale of Ryan Holton Murphy and his fiance and now bride. They're married now, Marie Packer. He's taking her name because he's a Packers fan. Your thoughts on this? We'll get to that and other things next. It's Bill and Dana for Wendy on WGN. It's Bill Leff, along with Dane Neal from Access Appetite, sitting in. Wendy will be back in the second half because she misses you and because she wants to talk to Steve from Blue's Clues, and I don't blame her.
And the highly acclaimed Dane Neal show on WGN.
Did I not mention that the show is highly acclaimed? Because it is.
I think it's understood, but it's one of those things you'll
should
like
still to be mentioned. It is highly acclaimed. All right, so if you're just checking in with us, we're telling you the story of Ryan Holton Murphy. He lives in Wauwatosa, Wisconsin. He is getting married to Marie Packer, a Chicagoan, but as it turns out, Ryan is a huge, huge, huge Green Bay Packers fan, so he figured out that the opportunity was his to have the last name Packer, take his wife's name instead of her take his name. Why wouldn't you?
You wonder if they just met randomly and he was just, wow, that's great, or if he was looking through the phone book or whatever, like, where's the Packer ladies? Like, she's not happy. Who knows?
Right.
And I know there's so many listeners out there that are thinking to themselves, and love is an elusive thing. We all realize that, Bill, and are thankful for our own situations. But
sure.
But let's say, you know, you find love, but your names are just, you know, you're not happy. You're not excited about your names. And you think, you collectively decide, well, yeah, I don't want to take your name because your name's terrible.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other person's like, well, your name's ridiculous.
Yeah.
So why don't we get together and then just both decide to change our names to something quote unquote cool.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
I'm trying to remember who did this. Somebody in the celebrity world did this. And I want to say, boy, I hope I'm right. I want to say Jane Fonda, when she was married to Tom Hayden, they didn't want to saddle their kids with either the name Fonda or Hayden because they thought there'd be some preconceived notion when people met them. So they just picked a random name.
A random name.
They just
name.
Gave the kids a name that didn't belong to either of them. Is that the way to go?
Well, see, I think, okay, so we're talking about two different things here. One is to go towards the thing that you love and you can identify with.
Right.
And you're talking about a situation is avoid the things that you identify
right.
with.
Right.
You know?
Right.
I mean, I could see it if you're the, you know, the descendants of John Wayne Gacy and you're like, yeah, let's just kind of stay away from that.
Well,
you know?
It's interesting because the names of notoriety, of negative notoriety, like you don't come across a lot of people with the name Gacy. I mean, there's a lot of names that you go, and sometimes I bet at some point there were a lot of people named Mussolini, I bet. But now you really rarely run. There was a documentary about people who had the last name Hitler. I watched this documentary a few years ago about people who have that last name, and it ran the gamut from people who said, this is the worst name you could ever be saddled with, to other people who went, ah, it was a long time ago. What's the big deal? But it is a big deal.
Well, genocidal dictator, that tends right. to like stick around with you. But
right.
And I think you've got different reasons why people may want to kind of, you know, get into the whole, like maybe choose. I don't know what the process is. I don't know if you can just change your name if, let's say, you're kind of crazy and want to be called Moonbeam or or maybe you've got goofy names and you want, or I don't know if there's some kind of criteria, or you can just choose whatever name you want
right.
and legally go do it. I'm not sure.
I'm sure you can. I don't think it's not expensive to change your name, is it?
I don't
it's
know.
It's affordable to
is
change
like
your name.
1-800 name change. Just
right.
send
there
it in.
There must be a website. Here's a text from 773. My husband made me take his last name when we got married. I begged, and it's in giant letters, like way bigger than most letters I've ever seen. I begged him not to. They gave me, now that she has a new last name.
It's not Tampa Bay Buccaneers, is it?
No, but listen to this. It's not. They gave me, all of a sudden, I had this name, Elizabeth Hurley. So obviously her name was already Elizabeth. She married into the Hurley family. She is now Elizabeth Hurley. I work in healthcare, so I have to wear a name badge at work. The jokes never end. I imagine on every day, if you have a name of notoriety like that, somebody will either ask you if you're related to them or, you know, there must be some tie-in. You got the same name.
Well, you mentioned a hospital, and oftentimes people aren't feeling well, and maybe they throw up or get sick. And I think that's where she's going with the jokes, is that people are talking about the Hurley. Whenever you can get to the point, if let's say your name is, you know, from Office Space, Michael Bolton, I think you could do that both ways. Either some people are kind of angry and, you know, and kind of trying to avoid the connection. Some people like yeah,
that's
cool.
Oh, everyone you know knows somebody. A friend of mine in college, name was Elizabeth Taylor. But obviously she wasn't that Elizabeth Taylor. But I said to her at some point, I go, is there ever a day where, and she stopped me and she goes, never once. There's never been a day where somebody doesn't call me out on the fact that my name is Elizabeth Taylor.
See, what do? You just go nickname then. Well, but then you go Liz. Then
Liz Taylor is just as problematic. D, you're on WGN. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. How are you?
Good. We're talking about this wedding of Ryan Holton Murphy and Marie Packer. Do you know something about it?
Well, yesterday they were interviewed on a Wisconsin station, and they said that the bride said she was going to leave it up to her groom to decide. And he said, out of respect, he is going to probably just go with a Packer bow tie.
Oh, instead of a full-on
the full uniform
jersey or tux with the Green Bay Packer colors.
Well, I think for photos... The helmet is kind of throws things off. Sorry.
Yeah. They did ask the bride if they were going to go with green and gold dresses, and she said she was going to work the green and gold somewhere in the reception, but that the dresses and her dresses were going to be traditional.
Did they seem? They seemed like fairly decent, normal, upstanding human beings, didn't they? They weren't trying to be crazy.
We all are in Wisconsin.
Of course you are. I know that. That goes without saying. Dee, thanks so much. Have a good weekend.
Thanks, guys. You too. Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye.
So some tasteful ways to incorporate the enthusiasm without going, as they say, overboard.
Right. You don't want to overdo it. It's your wedding day, for heaven's sakes. Somebody wanted to know, let me see if I can find the text. Their assumption would be that his parents, here it is, do you think that his parents are going to be mad? Would your mom and dad have been upset if you had taken Esther's last name? That wouldn't have phased them, would it?
Well, I don't know. To define phased, there would have been some questions and probably a conversation just because it's out of the ordinary.
Right.
But I think, and you made me think of it, there's some extra pressure if you are, you know, the kind of carrying on of the family name.
Yeah.
You know, if there's a lot of the Houghton Mifflins or whatever his name was out there, you know, he's got, you know, nephews and nieces and people to go ahead and take that on. Maybe there's no pressure. But if you are the person that's got to carry on the family name, and so not only are you exercising your enthusiasm for, let's say, your team, the Packers, but you're killing off generations of whoever it is that you are and your family is.
Yeah.
There's some extra pressure.
Do you know, it hit me a couple of years ago, just a few years ago. I have two daughters. My wife and I have two daughters. My brother has a daughter. When our daughters get married, when and if they take their husband's last names, our last name, because my cousins also have daughters. There's no boys in the next generation. So the name will kind of end. It's the end of it.
Well, here's what you do. And this is an answer for anybody out there. I'm sure this is a situation many people find themselves in, is you adopt maybe a 14-year-old Laotian boy and you just name him your last name. Boom.
That's what we're going to have to do. I just want to read one more text really quick. I know we're running late, but we have a text from a listener who says his first name is Walker, and he's trying desperately to meet a woman whose last name is Texas Ranger.
Oh, that's...
All right, let's take a quick break. News is coming up. Steve has the news, and then there's a lot more show. It's Bill F. and it's Dane Nealon for Wendy Snyder on WGN. Oh, sorry I'm late, Dane, but there are Skittles all over the road.
Avoid them.
I was up picking them up.
Well, everything in moderation, Bill.
Yep. Don't go crazy. I think most people, not just me, I think most people have a couple of what you would consider irrational fears. You know what I mean? Everybody has something. Some fears make sense, but some fears don't make sense. We've talked about this on the show from time to time. I'm deathly afraid of needles. I have an incredible fear of needles.
That's true. Yep.
And it's silly because I know every once in a while I'll need to have a shot. I'll have to have a blood test or a physical. Or sometimes Wendy will just bring in a needle and stab me with a needle for no reason at all. And it doesn't sit well with me. Bad with needles.
I thought you were going to say a healthy obsession with Brazil. But yeah, right. And these are things that are hardwired in. And, you know, you see those television, because I don't really like spiders. I don't like them. But I'm okay with snakes.
But you couldn't, if we were having on today a spider expert, and they brought in
Mutual
a tarantula.
Of Omaha's Wild Kingdom.
If Marlon Perkins, the late Marlon Perkins, or Jim from that show were
Jim
in.
Jim was so good.
Well, Jim did all the work.
You know it.
Marlon set back.
If he had a blog these days, he would be venting constantly.
Toward Marlon Perkins? Yeah, I don't blame him. But if they brought in a tarantula and they said, well, this isn't going to hurt you. We're just going to put this on your hand. Couldn't do it. Could you? I couldn't
I would really rather not. You know, I mean, it's not one of those. I couldn't eat it. You know, so you see some of the things like, you know, Fear Factor where they're eating cow eyes and diving into like vats of blood to like pick up the heart, bob for hearts with their, you know, some people are okay with all of that stuff or eating bugs. You know, we've all talked to those people. I couldn't do it. You couldn't eat the spider. Could not break off a leg and pop. I couldn't do it.
Right.
I think a lot of people share that. Needles, maybe you're a little, maybe you're lonelier on that island of fear than most people. But but yeah, things are out there that you're afraid of.
Now, the other one, now I consider this to be a rational fear.
Right.
Because there's a huge difference between your irrational fears and your rational fears. The irrational fear for me, again, the needles, I know how ridiculous it is because when I do get a shot, when it's done, I always do that. Is that it? That's all it was? And that happens every time, right?
Well, those are I think... I don't know if they're irrational. I mean, maybe you shouldn't be afraid of it, but it's a thing that happens. Right?
I can't even watch if there's a TV show or a movie and somebody's getting a shot in that.
You look away.
Even though I know that guy's not really getting a shot. It's an actor and it's a fake needle. I can't watch. I can watch in a horror movie. I can watch the most grotesque. I've seen movies where horrible, horrible, horrible things happen and I don't even flinch or blink. But if somebody's getting a shot, I can't watch it.
It is kind of unsettling. You're hitting it, right? The next, you know, Walking Dead series, maybe they'll just kind of scale it back and go to something like the zombie gets a shot.
Right.
Like, oh,
I'm out. I can't watch this anymore. Now, my rational fear is heights. I'm not great with heights.
I'm bad at that, too. Now you've just made me realize I'm terrified of many things.
Of everything.
Well, but those are, because these are things that are, I think, built into you. You know, you've got these things to protect you. You shouldn't be, you know, balancing. Shouldn't be a tightrope walker. Shouldn't be all those things.
Yes.
I think the irrational fears are that, you know, aliens are listening to your thoughts. So you're wearing the tinfoil hat, right? That doesn't make a lot of sense to anybody.
You've gone too far if you're wearing a tinfoil hat. There's a series of videos. This is a big thing in Europe, and I guess it's starting to become a huge thing in the United States, but it's been a big thing in Europe for a year or two, is that people climb up on top of, not just on top of the building like on the roof, because I can't even, if I'm on the roof of a building, I can't look over, but they go to the edge of it, and they'll put on one of those cameras, those GoPro cameras, and they'll just walk around on the very ledge, or they'll climb up, there'll be a spire or a tower or a flagpole, and they'll find themselves up that, and the, you know, it's all captured on film. And there's thousands of videos like that, and I'm 5 seconds in, and I can't watch it anymore.
I'm not even comfortable going to the window in a high building.
I know.
You know, getting to the edge. But you think about it, you hear those stories, you see the pictures of, you know, Native Americans building some of the skyscrapers in New York, probably here in Chicago too, just kind of straddling a girder, you know, 800 feet in the air, having lunch.
Oh, yeah.
You know, lunchbox open.
Well, you've seen here in the heart of the city, every once in a while, you'll see window washers on one of the buildings near us. I can't think of the amount of money. Like if they said to me, here's what we pay. It's $10,000 a day. You go up there and you wash the windows, and then you come down and we hand you the $10,000. Not a chance.
Well, I don't know. You'd have to maybe take a sedative, right? Like they do with dogs on the planes. Here's the thing, too, that adds to it is even when you cloak the fear in fun and bright colors, I'm not even comfortable on the big giant one.
Yeah.
Maybe the Ferris wheel. And it's all enclosed. I still can see that there's, you know, some gaps. I couldn't fall. Maybe my keys would fall. That's scary, right?
It is.
I'm not comfortable.
Here's the reason I bring this up. When I was a kid, one of my biggest fears was bats. We didn't have a lot of bats where I grew up, but every once in a while there'd be
in Transylvania.
Yeah, I grew up in downtown Transylvania, and we hardly ever had any bats, despite what the press tells you. No, I was always afraid of bats. And then when Terry and I started dating, her family had a cabin way up in the north woods of Wisconsin. We'd go up there, and there were bats everywhere. Like at night, you'd hear them hitting the windows. Like if you left the light on in your cabin, there'd be every once in a while a thump at the window. And
As
they tried to steal me,
right,
to carry me off in their bat beaks. I was so afraid of bats, but it was explained to me by people way, way, way more knowledgeable about things than I am, that bats don't feed on people. They don't want to come after you. Bats eat insects. That's what bats are into.
Well, I think you think about it yourself. You sit down to a pretty decent steak. That seems pretty good. But would you go after, you know, a full life-size breathing Brahma bull? You probably wouldn't.
No.
So I think when it comes to bats and us, like, we would be a pretty big bat.
Yeah.
You know, so that, that's probably part of it.
Right.
Right. Bugs are easier.
Well, now, Dane, all that has changed because in Brazil, there is a type of bat, the vampire bat.
Oh, jeez.
Which again, because of movies, we have made
much maligned
the worst of all bats. I'm sure there are bats far more dangerous, ugly, and more terrifying than the vampire bat. But thank you, Bela Lugosi, because now if we hear vampire bat, it can take human form, we believe. But in Brazil, the vampire bats have decided that feeding on humans is the way to go. Insects, a thing of the past, they're going after human beings.
Well, have you seen any of the travel brochures for Brazil? The residents are typically scantily clad. Right. And dancing around, maybe celebrating in a festive way, unaware, right, that a bat may
is
be
looking and, right, and getting ready hungry to feed off their heads. Many mammals.
Their heads.
Here's the story. That's where bats would go, was right for your head. Well, even
I
like
think more of a kind of a fleshy area, unless you have a fleshy head. Who knows?
I do have a fleshy head. The people who would explore caves would always tell you that the fear of the bat was not that the bat would bite you, but that the bat would get stuck in your hair, that it would fly near you, and you would have a bat in your hair, and that's not good.
Well,
for
back
anyone.
Then, you know, ladies with the beehive hairdos, this was a serious concern. Or I think in those caves too, you know, if you've watched anything on Animal Planet or some of those, maybe Travel Channel, there's a lot of bat, is saying the business, the technical term is guano.
Yes.
Right? Is it
that's the waste of your bat.
Yeah, they don't use the toilet like you and I.
No.
You know, they just go to the bathroom wherever, and I guess there's a lot of that going on in there. That's what I would be afraid of.
I have a cousin
of,
like that, by the way.
His name is Guano?
No. Who has the same bathroom habits as a bat.
Oh, sorry.
Many mammals, by the way, the texts are great. Before I read this from MSN, just really quickly, this is one of the shortest texts we've ever had. Bat beaks? ? I don't know that bats have beaks. I'm almost positive they don't. But to make the story more interesting, I said bat beaks. Somebody's afraid of whales, and I'm guessing they mean the giant mammal, not the country where Tom Jones is from.
Well, you know, back in the day, Wales was a military power. And,
right. Much more dangerous back then.
They out there, you know, conquering other countries. And, you know, Wales. Who would be afraid of a whale? I mean, unless you're Jonah, you got to go back in one of those. But
you're not going to, here in the city proper, you're not going to encounter that many whales.
I've never run into one.
You know, there's whale watching tours if you go to Hawaii. Or you know, various places around the globe, you can go on a whale watching tour. I'd highly recommend, if you're afraid of whales, don't go on one of those because they come right up to the boat.
Wait, but you almost never hear about a whale attack.
No, it's been months since there's been a whale attack.
Right.
Doesn't happen. All right, I'll read you this story from MSN about the bats of Brazil that have decided that insects were fine in the old days, but now they're feeding off of humans. It's not good. If you want to jump in, 312-981-7200. It's Bill and it's Dane in for Wendy on WGN. We're talking bats. I love the Batman theme, but I can never remember the words.
Yeah. Well, right. There aren't any, are there? I mean, just other than Batman.
The lyricist got paid. He accepted a check every month for writing, and I quote, "Batman, Batman, 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 Batman."
It falls into the less is more category in iconic music that everybody knows,
right,
that theme song, so it
right
made its mark.
He's a genius. All right, we're talking a little bit about irrational fears because bats in Brazil, something I was very much afraid of as a child, bats. My friends used to do this thing where they would throw little pebbles up in the air at night, and then bats would zero in on them, and they would follow them because to them, they didn't realize it was just a small
rock.
Thought
it was a June bug or something.
Thought it was a bug, so they would follow it down.
It's cruel.
That's a fun game to play with
people with your
bats.
Local friendly neighborhood bats.
Yes. What could beat that? Here's a strange irrational fear from 815. They say, I'm afraid of empty swimming pools.
See?
What would that be all about? What would cause that?
Look, Bill, you've got this kind of quizzical, like, how does this make sense? Sometimes it just doesn't. My wife's got a coworker who's afraid, terrified of balloons.
Of blown-up balloons balloons?
I haven't differentiated.
Like if you saw if she saw a balloon that was not already at full capacity?
I think it's full capacity balloons, but I'm not exactly positive. Maybe I'll try to check during the break. But, yeah, I mean, that doesn't make any sense.
No, it doesn't.
So I think you just at that point just say, hey, it takes a village and a village of fears.
Everyone's different. when I worked, when in high school, I was working at a toy store, Toys by Rizzi in Lincoln Mall. And the way the toy store was set up, I don't know that any toy store does this anymore, but Toys by Rizzi used to do this. And Circus World, the toy store Circus World used to do this. As you'd walk around, they had stuffed animals hanging from the ceilings. They didn't have them on shelves. They were hanging from the ceilings. And one night I was working there, and a lady just let out a blood-curdling scream. And I went over, and she was on the ground like she had almost passed out. And her husband was quickly helping her to her feet and getting her out of the store. And I said, what happened? Is everything okay? And he said, she just, and she goes, go ahead, you can tell him. And he said, she's afraid of stuffed animals. She had such a fear, because this was like a snake that was like fluorescent pink and green. You'd never in a million years think that it was a real snake. But to her, that was even scarier than a real snake, a big, long, fluorescent stuffed animal snake.
Yeah, I want to be compassionate. And I'm hoping that there's some kind of, I don't know, therapy or, you know, shock collar, something, right?
Yeah.
That can be done. Because that doesn't really make sense. I think that would limit your ability to go into a lot of stores. But she should have known better. I mean, it is a toy store.
Right, right. That's your one-stop shopping headquarters for fluorescent stuffed animal snakes.
Right.
This 630 used to date a girl that was afraid of rubber bands.
See, does that make any sense?
No, it does not make any sense.
Rubber bands are your friends.
Rubber bands should be your friends. The reason we tell you this is that in Brazil, vampire bats, the much feared, much maligned, often criticized vampire bats, are now feeding off of humans. Here's the story on MSN. A new study published in December in the journal Acta, I'm not even going to try to say this, C-H-I-R-O-P-T-E-R-O-L-O-G-I-C-A.
Is that Transylvania for Bat Illustrated?
Yes. And we're out of time. That led, that word made us out of time. A new study published in that journal that I just mentioned and first reported in New Scientist, now that's the name of a journal right there,
yep,
finds that bats have started to feed on human blood, something that scientists didn't even think was possible. They have stymied scientists, Dane. As people have started to move into the Catanga dry forests of northeastern Brazil, well, there's your problem there,
yeah, right.
They have been cutting down trees and hunting the tinamou and guan birds, which we talk about on the show incessantly.
See, every if time my last name was Guanbird, I'd be thinking, let's go name change.
A group of researchers from the Universidad Federal de... Oh, this story is just filled with big, long words to... That's my other fear.
That's just higher education, Bill.
Heights, needles, and big, long foreign words. From the Brazil, Batman, decided to test the bats' waste to see if they have been eating their normal meal sources, and those have disappeared. They think that they have turned to humans instead of animals. The author of the study writes that they don't know how the species would behave in a situation because of the scarcity of wild birds and the increase in the availability of domestic animals. DNA analysis showed that they have been consuming chicken blood, and that is not a surprise. Although if I started consuming chicken blood, everyone around me would be shocked.
I don't know. They just need some better marketing to make it right, less repulsive.
More palatable. But it also showed that the bats have been preying on humans. We are quite surprised, said Enrico Bernard. And it takes a lot to surprise Enrico Bernard. You know that.
Yeah, he's unstymiable.
That's what they call him, the unstymiable Enrico Bernard. He led the study and told Sandrine Cousteman of The New Scientist that this species isn't adapted to feed on the blood of mammals. Despite what we have heard about vampire bats since the 1930s or earlier, the vampire bat is not... It's not going to bite a human until now, until Brazil.
Well, I think part of, here, you describe the situation, you can understand, you know, the context of it and why this is happening. In the immortal words of, I think, one of our great actors, meat's meat and man's got to eat, and same goes for bats.
Yes.
So I think just because the people are there, they're taking the normal food source away, which is the birds and the animals. They're moving in trying to build resorts because it's some pretty nice territory there. And so the bat's thinking, I'm hungry. You know, there's a construction worker there. I think I'm going to eat it.
A bat's got to eat.
Right.
You know that.
Where's the bird? I think maybe you capitalize on this, but you tap into, and Bill, I'm not sure if you're aware of this, but vampires have been more and more popular. Kind of the sexy vampire.
That's
and maybe
true.
You tap into those people. They're kind of into that. Mm-hmm. And you get the bats what they need, which is food. You get the tourists what they need, which is proximity to a vampire bat and getting bit.
Everybody wins.
Right.
Just a couple quick, Dane, if you wouldn't mind, a few more irrational fears that have come in over the text line 312-591-8200.
We got rubber bands and balloons.
It's hard to beat those, right? 815 says, I have always been terrified of store mannequins.
Ew.
I knew a guy, this is from 630, I knew a guy that I worked with who was terrified of the cotton that comes inside of aspirin bottles.
Whoa.
What could have led to that? How in the world?
Right, you think, what kind of negative, terrible thing happened, you know, either maybe to an ancestor,
right?
So this is passed down, or to you, you know, were you attacked? But I can't see the cotton doing anything, unless you accidentally ate it and it was unpleasant.
Yeah, but even then, it's such a small amount. And let me do one more really quick, and then we have to throw it to news. As a child, I wouldn't swim in swimming pools because I was sure that there would be a shark attack.
Well, usually swimming pools are pretty clear, and you can see any shark that would be a threat should be visible.
Plus, you always hear the theme music. Anytime there's a shark attack, it's always preceded by,
without fail.
You know
fail.
That's coming. All right, we'll take a break. We've got news. Kim Gordon will give you the news in just a little bit. And then Dean Richards joins us to talk about what's going on in show business and what movies to see this weekend. It's Bill and Dane Nealon for Wendy on WGN.
He knows which movies make you laugh and which ones make you cry. If you love films, then Dean's your guy. So grab yourself some popcorn. He will not talk about hard points, Dean.
It's Bill Leff, and it's Dane in for Wendy, and Dean Richards joins us right now. Dean, I don't know if you were listening, but we were talking about irrational fears. Everybody has something that they're afraid of, but probably not you. You're a man of steel. You don't have any irrational fears.
I have nothing but irrational fears.
Really?
Are you kidding me?
Like what? What do you have?
I don't know if they're irrational. I hate snakes.
Okay, but most people, I think, given the choice of being with or not being with a snake, would choose to not be with a snake,
but
wouldn't
they? I'm like paralyzed with fear, though.
That bad?
It's not just like keep that away from me. I'm paralyzed with fear. The thing that really is my biggest probably phobia. I think it's more than just a mild fear, is a fear of heights.
Yeah.
Not just, I mean, if I'm on like a third floor back porch landing, I'm holding on for dear life.
It's that bad.
When I was watching the Vin Diesel movie, I also have the fear of stupid movies.
Vin Diesel movies.
Wrong business.
This one is not, but it was a good enough joke to go for that. But when, you know, there are some moments in airplanes and things like that, I'm practically ripping the arm out of the theater chair.
Really?
That's how paralyzed I am. I can feel my breathing changing when it's happening. I'm terrible, terrible, terrible with fear.
Well, some of those make
heights, I mean,
make sense. You know, snakes, I think just we would know that snakes are inherently dangerous, at least some of them. Heights, you know, you shouldn't be dangling off of a building or really flying in a plane for that matter. Those make sense.
Mine are super weird, though.
That bad.
Now, if I had a snake on the third floor landing...
You got snakes on a plane.
Watching,
Dean, did you even
watching
see that?
A Vin Diesel movie.
Would you go near a theater that was showing snakes on a plane?
Because those are the question, right?
That's the double whammy for me.
The worst thing in the world
right now,
for you.
Just talking about this, I'm Albert Brooks in broadcast news right now.
Sweating bullets?
Right, exactly. I am hot sweat right now.
No. All right, I have to ask you this. I keep seeing stories about Ellen DeGeneres winning all these awards, the People's Choice Awards. When was that? Usually award shows get all kinds of promotion that they're going to be on. Was this on?
This was last night, Bill. Don't pretend like you didn't
watch it. I had no idea that it was even on last night.
Don't pretend.
I didn't know. I'm one of the people.
I know you're trying to be elitist media right now because it's so
fake
popular.
Fake media. We're fake media.
So it's so popular to be part of the fake elitist media.
That's
not
true.
Not be award shows of the people.
Right.
But that's what this was last night. This is the award show in which, you know, it's not, you know, people in the industry like the Academy Awards.
These are people.
Or those 15 people who vote for the Golden Globe.
These are real people.
Yeah.
These are actual fans, which explains why, you know, a movie like Bad Moms could be chosen as the best comedy of
Was it really?
Last year. the favorite movie of last year, according to this People's Choice Awards, was Finding Dory, which was a very nice movie.
Sure.
Very nice movie, but, you know, I don't know if it's the best.
The best of the year,
best movie of last year, but, you know, I'm an elite fake
You're
news
part of the elite
critic,
media.
So, you know, what do I know?
Dean, do they have for these? Do they have, like, for Finding Dory, do they at least throw an asterisk up there to say, like, your observations may vary?
Right.
They do not.
Oh, no.
They do not. Who else won last night? Jennifer Lawrence won as Best Actress of the Year. I can't remember
But award shows are traditionally on a Sunday night. They're not usually on a Wednesday night.
It's a crowded field, Bill.
That's for you elitists.
I guess
you think you're too busy
for a Sunday.
An award show on a Wednesday night, and you want your award shows on a Sunday. This was last night. Ellen DeGeneres won 4 awards last night. This brings her total awards for the People's Choice Awards up to 20.
What?
Yeah.
Really?
She's won 20 People's Choice Awards. Justin Timberlake, who was presenting her, had guys come out all like dressed up in tuxes, white gloves, holding all 20 of her statues.
Did?
Nice.
That's funny.
They showed all 20 of her statues on the stage. Yeah, it was one of the more interesting moments of the night. Johnny Depp was chosen as favorite movie icon.
Yeah.
And he came out, and this was kind of revealing after all the bad press that he went through with his super ugly divorce with his wife.
Amber Heard.
Amber Heard. Terrible publicity for him. He was chosen as favorite movie icon. He was a little bit emotional on stage.
Really?
And said how much this especially he appreciates. His fans have stayed with him through good times and bad, referencing the divorce is what he was talking about.
Yeah.
And he seemed genuinely moved that his fans chose to stay with him through all the ugliness that we've heard about for the past years.
Dean, regular accent Johnny Depp or European accent Johnny Depp?
Oh, pirate Johnny Depp.
It wasn't pirate, because that's more Keith Richards.
Yeah.
That's Keith Richards Johnny Depp. This was a little in between.
Oh, really?
Yeah, this wasn't quite the weird accent Johnny Depp, because I think he was humbled. So
right,
he is from Kentucky after all.
He is, isn't he?
So yeah. where the weird French accent comes from?
Dean, I wasn't sure if there was different categories in there. I thought maybe you were going to say he was nominated for that forced PSA that he had to make about bringing pets into Australia.
That was a good one. They did not have a forced PSA category.
Oh,
sadly, this year.
That's lacking.
And also, I should mention they're still counting. But the electoral votes for the People's Choice have not come out yet, so it's very possible.
Anything
there
can happen.
Could be an entirely we could wind up with Montel Williams as
wouldn't that be
best
nice?
Talk show host of the year. As
I hope he wins.
Yeah,
in the retro category.
All right, now is this true or is this not true? There
true.
Are stories today. It's true. Who would have saw that coming? Jack Nicholson is hanging it up. He's not going to act anymore. He's retiring. Jack Nicholson
I have not heard that information. Where'd you hear that?
On the, Dan, you told me the name of it. It's
fake
the
news channel.
Internet.
Elitist fake news.
Right. Right.
Oh, I'm so understanding all that I've heard about this fake news mumbo jumbo.
Here's the story, Dean. It's sad. Peter Fonda says that his friend Jack Nicholson has retired. It's not that he will retire in the future. He's 79 years old. He says he's done everything he needs to do. And he's done with movies. He's retiring from acting. Jack Nicholson.
What does Peter Fonda know?
He doesn't know.
pinko liberal.
Who among us hasn't fed a story to Peter Fonda just to see what he would say about it? We all have done
that. I told him the Golden Girls were breaking up once. And that's when most of them were dead. So he bought it.
Sure he did.
He runs to wherever you go for your... get your fake media out. I don't even know where that is.
Although I can't remember, the last Jack Nicholson movie, was it that movie with Adam Sandler, that Angry People movie? Was that the last one?
Yeah, let me do
it's
a
been
quick
a long
check
time.
On that because I actually
he's done some like cameos or something. He must have, right?
I don't think I've seen him in a movie in at least 5 years.
So, Bill, you're saying he maybe had retired years ago
and didn't tell anybody, including Peter Fonda.
Right, Peter Fonda just found out.
That's why it's just not it doesn't like hit me like a ton of bricks because. So many of these people don't do anything anyway.
Here it is, Dean. It says his last role in a film was in 2010 in the movie How Do You Know?
Reese Withers. Oh, I remember that now. Reese, he played Paul Rudd's father.
Oh, yeah.
Paul Rudd's father in that movie. Reese Witherspoon, Owen Wilson.
So that was 6.5 years ago.
Yeah.
That was his last movie role.
When did Peter Fonda retire?
Jack Nicholson's going to release a statement right. later.
Like, you to me, I'll do you. 1969, I think.
All right, we'll take a quick break. Dean Richards is with us. He'll tell us what movies have come out this weekend and what you need to see and what you need to not see. It's us. It's Bill and Stan in for Wendy on WGN. It's Bill Leff and it's Dane Neal sitting in for Wendy Snyder, who will be back after the Wintrust business lunch, mostly because Steve from Blue's Clues will be joining us and Wendy wants to meet him, and why wouldn't you? Dean Richards is on the phone with us telling about what movies are coming out this weekend.
Or you can call me Al.
Or we could call you Al. Why wouldn't we call you Al? Al Richards is with us from the WGN TV Morning News. Al/Dean, the founder. Tell us about the founder.
I love this movie. I'm so surprised that I liked a movie about the creation of McDonald's restaurants.
Yeah.
I did not think that it was going to be compelling. It's very compelling. It's very interesting. Michael Keaton has restored my faith in him as an actor after his Birdman movie.
Yeah,
which,
with you.
Which I was not crazy about Birdman as a movie, but I loved his performance. I think he's been turning in some amazing performances, and he does this time, too, as the man who we think of as being the creator and founder of McDonald's, Ray Kroc, who lived in Arlington Heights, Illinois,
mm-hmm.
Opened his first McDonald's restaurant in Des Plaines, Illinois. But really, in this movie, you will meet Mac and Dick McDonald, two brothers in San Bernardino, California, when Ray Kroc was a salesman of restaurant equipment. He happened to learn about these two guys who were doing a restaurant business. It's so interesting that in this movie, which is set in the 1950s and the early 60s, they call McDonald's restaurant food, which, you know, it wasn't really called fast food back then. But it was just a restaurant with a completely different philosophy of very high quality, of turning the food over quickly, of not having waiters, waitresses, car hops, that it was kind of self-serve, that you go up to the window and get the food yourself. It's wrapped in paper instead of on plates, an amazing concept that just blew Ray Kroc's mind. And he wanted to learn about this process and opened a franchise from these two brothers in San Bernardino and just completely copied them step by step for every inch, and franchised more and opened more and opened more until he really kind of took over the whole company and put the two brothers out of business. It's a really interesting, fascinating inside look at one of the most American of institutions, McDonald's restaurant, of how the Golden Arches got its start, how so many of the things that we take for granted now as being, you know, part of Mickey D's, became part of this legend, is detailed in this movie and done in a really interesting, thought-provoking way. I really, really like this movie.
See, this is history, but it isn't, you know, going back to the medieval times with knights and dragons and all that kind of stuff. Of course, maybe those weren't real history, where people can kind of take artistic license. I mean, we all know and have kind of lived a lot of this along with McDonald's. Dean, did you find it, or have you heard back? Is it historically accurate as well as entertaining?
Yeah, I mean, I haven't done a super amount of research, but by everything that I remember from McDonald's, I guess I never really knew. I knew that there was a McDonald's before Ray Kroc. I didn't really know the story of the McDonald brothers, and really how Ray Kroc kind of ripped them off.
I mean, a little bit, yeah.
Completely stole their idea and essentially put them out of business with his. He wanted to expand. He wanted to be huge. They wanted to remain small. They wanted to keep very quality control. So that part I never knew, but I think one of the things that what I liked about this movie is, we are so familiar with this. It's like learning about Uncle Jimmy's, somebody who's been in your family right. forever, and mm-hmm. now you know Uncle Jimmy, you know how he is, and now you're learning a little of how he got to be the way that he is. I loved it. I would have liked a little more Ronald McDonald myself. But that came later on. That's not really part of the founding of McDonald's. That came a little bit later on. But even
sequel.
Though...
Sequel.
Even though, right?
That would be a Grimace right? spinoff, you mean?
Yeah.
Right? It would have killed him to put one Hamburglar in this whole movie. A Mayor McCheese. Like a guy just off on the side as
right.
Mayor McCheese.
That would work.
Something like that. But no, they kept it with human beings.
All right.
So be it. Dean's List B plus on
I
this
like
one.
That. Really, B plus is good.
Really
what about Triple X Xander Cage?
Triple.
Sorry.
It's Triple X, The Return of Xander Cage.
The Return of Xander Cage. Xander Cage is coming back, everybody.
As any man, woman, or child can tell you, Xander Cage, of course, was Vin Diesel in the original Triple X movie.
Well, Richard Burton originally, but then they redid it.
If you really want to go back to British theater.
Yes, right.
More of a love story, though, Bill.
It really goes back even a little further.
But when Shakespeare first wrote it, Dean, who did he have in mind, do you think?
And back early, it was a woman who played Xander Cage because often Shakespeare would have people playing opposite genders in the movies. So, in this case, Vin Diesel returning to the role that he made famous in the early 2000s, when Paramount Pictures wanted to do a sequel, Vin Diesel apparently thought he was way too much of a thespian to go back.
Come on, Vin Diesel.
To a chintzy role like playing a superhero action figure.
Yeah.
And he took a pass on it. Ice Cube took over the franchise for that movie. And Vin Diesel certainly has done okay during the years. Although he did, his pal Paul Walker walked away from the Fast and Furious franchise the same way and came back. And Vin Diesel has said that's part of the reason why he came back to this franchise, that he and Paul Walker had many a conversation about, keeping your head on straight and not getting too big for your britches. So anyway, he's back in the franchise. The plot line is there is a small device that's called Pandora's Box, which, if in the wrong hands, can control all the satellites that are in the sky, not only controlling its content, but controlling where they might crash, killing humans.
Mm.
So it's incumbent on the Triple X crew to try to capture this box, who is also being pursued by a band of bad guys. Good guys and bad guys, kind of a new concept. Fighting each other in action movies. And as much as I might be somewhat ridiculing the plot line of this movie, I walked out of this movie last night, hour and 45 minutes or so, something like that.
Yeah.
I had a blast watching this movie.
Good.
It's complete, silly, fun, complete adrenaline overload.
Excellent.
Some spectacular special effects, spectacular chase scenes, spectacular fight scenes. No one's going to win an Academy Award for anything in this movie. But if you just want to go have a couple of hours of fun, highly recommending. This one gets a Dean's List B.
Triple X, Xander Cage. And they've already announced the sequel, Era Double X. That'll be out a year from now. So that looks good, too, Dean.
Good to see some satellites getting some work, too.
Right. Yes. There's a whole line of adult movies that are going to also be based on the Triple X. It's a whole nother kind of secret device.
Maybe next week we can talk about that.
That's right. Different kind of device that the bad guys are trying to get their
excellent.
Hands on.
Oh, no. I'm in. Dean, thanks so much. It's our friend Dean Richards. He's the best. Have
see
a good
guys.
Weekend, Dean.
All right, you too, guys.
Quick break. We'll find out what Steve has coming up next. It's Bill and Dane in for Wendy on WGN.
May I say it?
Please say it.
Happy anniversary, Kim.
Yep.
Guys, I just can't even believe how kind and considerate and thoughtful you are.
All
so
started
nice.
With me, and I hear that Bill gets Steve Alexander into the mix.
Dane's in the mix.
Everybody is.
Everybody is.
Once Steve Alexander lends his throat to something, his voice to something, you know
the
it's
golden
legit.
Pipes.
Yeah, the golden pipes of Steve Alexander. That's when you know it's real. Wendy, not able to be with us for the first half, but here for the second half, mostly because, not exclusively, but mostly because of Steve Byrne from Blue's Clues joining us, fingers crossed, sometime before the show is over.
Well, I had an appointment this morning that I couldn't miss, and I said, well, I'll work a half day. Maybe I'll just take the whole day off. And then I said, when is Steve Byrne's rescheduled? And Kevin informed us it's supposed to be today.
Yeah.
Have we got the Central and Pacific time all worked out, hopefully?
To my understanding, yes, we are good to go.
Good. Anxious to talk to Steve Byrne. That's from Blue's Clues, and that'll happen later on in the show.
Watch him suck now.
Oh, don't say that.
After all this.
Don't say that. I just want to tell you this because you weren't here, obviously, for the first half of the show, but Dane Neal sat in for you and did a great job. He's always very, very fun to listen to. We got several texts from people. Now, please keep in mind while I tell you this, there was no mention of the election. There was no mention of tomorrow's inauguration. There was no mention of Donald Trump. But we got several texts from people saying, enough with the Trump bashing.
Oh, that was me texting.
About, was that you doing that?
Well, I don't you know, every president has been talked about and will continue to be talked about.
It's part of the fabric of what the job is.
Yeah.
Is you're maligned by some, you're applauded by others. You're lampooned on television, certainly. That's one of the weirdest things. So now when you do text in saying, please stop talking about Trump, it'll be legit because we are. That's one of the things when you hold the office, you're kind of part of the collective of the nation. So a show like Saturday Night Live or all the talk show monologues are going to focus on you. But he's the only president that has taken offense to that and said, hey, you're a disgrace. It's embarrassing. Stop talking about me.
But he doesn't want us to stop talking about him.
Us talking about him is what put him in the public eye, which got him the presidency.
Yeah.
But anytime if there's a news story that he doesn't like, he brands it fake news. If there's a television show that makes fun of him, the show has gone downhill. It's not good anymore. Is that how it's always going to be? Or at some point will he understand that that's part of the job is you're going to be ridiculed. You're going to be made fun of. You're going to be criticized. I don't get it.
I don't get it either. And there are a lot of people with this march that's happening on Saturday mm-hmm. at the lakefront.
Mm-hmm.
It's a woman's march, but there's going to be men there. And now they're talking like 20,000 people are going to show up.
Yeah, and upwards of 20,000. 22, I think, was the last expected. You don't know yet. It hasn't happened. It could be way more. It could be way less.
But, you know, there are people on Facebook that I gotta remember to unfriend because I just can't take it anymore. Or at least remove them from my feed so I don't have to see it. But it's like, oh, yeah, a million, wah, 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 march. It's like anybody can do what they want. My only question is this march is just going to show we're going to hold your feet to the fire and we want answers. These people marching and participating are not trying to get him out of the office. He's in the office.
They're just saying we don't necessarily agree with the way it turned out. I know several people, some very, very close to me, that are attending this march over the weekend. And I honestly applaud them for doing it, but I don't know what it will do.
What will it accomplish?
I have no idea if it'll accomplish anything.
Well, that is my big question out there. And 312-981-7200, if you're participating, if you're part of it, why are you doing it? I guess maybe it's just to say I did not vote for this person because, again, we have microphones to say that.
But what's the end result? It's obvious that there's all kinds of opposition. I saw the number yesterday. He's going into office with an approval rating. Barack Obama's approval rating somehow went up quite a bit in the last couple of months. It was somewhere in the low 60s.
From some people because they're happy he's getting out, maybe.
Oh, maybe that's it. But they said yesterday, I saw in two different news sources, they're saying that Donald Trump is entering the White House with only 40% of the American public happy that that's the case, which is an incredibly low number, I think. But I don't know if you're opposed to this and you are attending one of the marches over the weekend, what's the best possible scenario? I don't know what it is.
Well, that's a great question, but I'm not criticizing anyone going to it. Right now, a text, it doesn't make sense to march in protest of Donald Trump. He is and will be the next president. Don't you think the people who are going to be in attendance realize that?
Oh, they do know that. But I think what they're saying is, what I'm saying, I hope, is let's say a billion people show up. He's not going to go, wow, a lot of people really are not happy about this. Maybe I should reconsider and not.
I'll step down.
Yeah. It's good intentions. It's nothing but good intentions. If you want to just show the process works and you can show some opposition, go for it. But I don't know what the end
what
game
the goal
is on this. Yeah.
And that's why we would like to be educated about it. 312-981-7200. Just why are you going? If someone's listening and you're participating, tell us why and what you hope to get out of it. Maybe it's just to show a whole group of people standing together, you know, again with the he is not my president
thing.
I bet
that's it exactly.
And that's fine.
Yeah.
And that's our right to do that, right?
Sure. Oh, yeah. 312-981-7200. We'll get to your calls and texts in just a little bit. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. It is Bill Leffin. It's Wendy Snyder on WGN.
Explore Chicago's culinary side with Chicago Tribune's food and dining newsletter. Sign up today at chicagotribune.com/newsletters and live deliciously, Bill.
I try my best, too. All right, so as most of you are probably aware, tomorrow, sort of a big day in the world of politics, as Donald Trump is sworn in as our next president. Several people not pleased, many people pleased, a lot of people not pleased. There are marches planned all over the country. In Washington, there's a huge one. There's one here in Chicago. The expectation number keeps rising and rising and rising. Wendy, you asked the question, what will this do? No matter what the turnout is, big or small, what is the best possible thing that can come of this? Why do this?
And if I may just pose an update here, organizers now anticipate more than 50,000 people will attend. On Tuesday, that number was 22,000, so they have changed the location, and we will keep you posted on that as soon as I find it.
All right. Trump Tower would be, in my opinion, the best place to do it, wouldn't it?
No, they need a lot of space.
Yeah, not if there's 50,000 people showing up.
All right.
I had it for you. It's going to be at Columbus Drive between Jackson and Monroe. That's the new location.
Okay.
Is Friends of the Park okay with this, Steve? Do we know?
They are, but George Lucas is having a bad with it.
He all should right. protest. That's so funny. All right. And I think everybody has a right to assemble, and they do,
yeah.
And it's okay. And I just want to know personally if you are attending, why you are, and Diane will be in attendance. Hi, Diane.
Hi there. I'm going to put behind us what Trump has said because he is going to be our president as of tomorrow.
Yeah.
We can't forget that, but what I'm hoping will impress him, and I think he is, he likes ratings, he likes numbers, they speak to him. So when Winnie March and others march this coming weekend, I hope it sends him a message that he is now responsible.
Yeah.
He is now accountable. And we have expectations of respect and honoring minority rights. I'm only one person, but if you put a lot of one persons together, mm-hmm. they might make an impression on him.
That is a great point, the way you put it, and it has doubled from about 20,000 to now expected 50,000. We'll see what happens tomorrow. But he does see numbers, and that is something, I don't know if he's going to change anything, but it does show him that, you know, we're going to hold your feet to the fire, and we're not necessarily behind you. So
exactly.
Very interesting.
I want that message to go out to Paul Ryan and Ted Cruz and those people
who are
affiliated with the extreme right also. So hopefully we can do that.
Excellent. Well, we appreciate the call. Thanks so much for checking in with us.
Oh, you're welcome.
All right, good luck.
Wear some comfy shoes tomorrow. You'll be standing for a while.
Oh, her feet are not being held to the fire, Wendy. It's Donald Trump's feet that are being held to the fire, figuratively.
Thank you for clarifying that.
Sure.
All right, Jim, you're not going, but your wife is going to the march tomorrow.
That's right. I mean, I would walk, but my hips can't take it.
Oh.
But, you know, she's going with some other friends in our neighborhood, and I think it goes beyond just Donald Trump. Because if you make a statement, I think the women are upset about how the whole GOP views women's health care. And I think it's about the bigger issues and making a big statement in that regard. So it's maybe like the previous caller said, you know, Trump responds to numbers. And if enough people are shown together, maybe it makes a statement that somebody's going to listen to. Because I think we've seen them kind of disregard things in some ways and do what they want to do.
But do you think this will, knowing what we know about the man, do you think that this will faze him?
You know, I'd like to hope it will, but I guess I think it won't, because personally, I think he's the most unfit person to be president there is. Maybe outside of Donald Duck.
Maybe it won't faze him, but he will certainly be aware of it. That's what I think people
It'll
are coming out for.
It'll be a blow to his ego to hear the numbers nationwide of the people that are opposing him. All right, interesting.
You know, I mean, unfortunately, I think his ego intercepts logic and derails it sometimes.
Yeah.
All right, well, let's keep our fingers crossed, Jim, because we're all in this together.
There you go.
Thank you,
Jim.
That's
all we can do.
Thank you so much. Take care of your hips. Ann?
Hello.
Can't keep you away.
Hi.
Hi.
What's up, Ann?
Yeah, I heard you two discussing it. I love your show.
Thanks.
Is there a but coming?
But, and maybe you have thought of all these things, but remember, you could not keep some of us away from this march. It's not an intellectual thing.
Yeah.
It's that we are so highly offended by so many things that have gone on during the election.
Yeah.
That it's really, I'm going for me. I'm not, it has almost nothing to do with Donald Trump.
Yeah.
Because my being an American goes very deep, and this is just so against everything I was raised to believe that I just have to go.
So you're going to protest and to say, I am not a part of this. I don't agree with what he's doing. Do you expect anything to happen from after this?
No, that's not why I'm going. I'm going because I'm in the field of mental health. I've worked with people for years, and I'm afraid of him. I do not believe in anything he says, and I have to be there. I have to be a body there because I'll know that I did something. I'll know that I at least, my children can see that I didn't stand by and not get involved. I think it's important for our children to see us do these things.
It is important to stand up for what you believe, and as long as it's peaceful, it's, you know, it's your absolute right.
Yeah, we had Martin Luther King Day this week.
Right.
And that's what he preached. It's all peaceful. And as Americans, we're forgetting what America is really about, which is that we have these rights and we should be more involved. And I think we're getting less and less involved, which is part of the reason we're in this situation.
You could be right on that, Ann.
Everyone's numb. Everyone's home. They're numb. They're just letting things happen. So that's why I'm going, is I just want to physically be there, but I plan to be very peaceful. And I just plan to do it for myself and for my family.
All right. Well, march and have, you know, march for what you believe in. It is Saturday. I may have said tomorrow because I thought today was Friday, but it is happening Saturday. And it's been moved. It was along the lakefront, and now I believe it's Columbus.
On Columbus. Do you all know it's, we're all in a group out online, and we get updates. I mean, there's thousands of people online talking about this every day.
Mm-hmm.
You know that, right?
Yes.
I mean, there's like a insiders, it's Facebook. It's like all over. That's why there's so many people coming. Everybody's up to date.
And that's kind of why I brought it up, because everybody has a right to do it. And I was kind of saying it makes me uncomfortable to see people saying, oh, wah, 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 he's our president, just get over it. That's why we brought this up, to see why someone who's attending it, why they want to go. And we appreciate you calling.
Yeah. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Ann.
Should we take a break, do some news, and more people want to talk about this?
Absolutely. We're easy to reach. We're at 312-981-7200. And please, if you're on the other side, if you're somebody who is a supporter of Mr. Trump's and you really feel like, well, whatever you feel like, and you want your voice to be heard, we will be happy to take that call as well. 312-981-7200, Bill and Wendy, WGN.
Yeah.
You keep saying you got something for me, something you call love, but confess.
I hate talking over Nancy.
You're not supposed to talk on any member of the Sinatra family, Wendy. And actually, is it Nancy Sinatra who was in the news talking about her father's song, I Did It My Way?
I don't know.
Nancy Sinatra, evidently yesterday, the Trump people wanted to use my way during the inauguration, and she was quoted as saying, have at it, but keep in mind what the first line of the song is. Do you know what the first line of my way is?
No.
The end is near.
And now the end is near, yeah. That's right.
Yeah.
It was Nancy, according to our correspondent, Kevin.
Hmm.
I love when he wears those headphones when he's out in the field.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so the Women's March, but that's kind of misleading because not just women are attending.
Well, see, that's the thing. You can care a lot about women's issues and not be a woman.
Yeah, true. That's true.
Right?
Yeah.
But it's misleading. I thought, you know, just women are getting together.
Well, because they've kind of, it's women's groups that have organized it, and when they list the there's a lot of celebrity presence that goes along with this. And every list I've seen, it's all women. It's Madonna and it's Katy Perry, and the list goes on and on and on. So they're kind of, and rightfully so, they're spearheading this and making the, you know, themselves, since they put it together, why wouldn't you?
And men that go support women.
Absolutely.
All right, good point. Thank you very much for that, Steve Bertrand. Mark has a question. If you are attending, why are you attending? What do you hope to get out of this? And Mark, you had a comment about this.
Yes, I did. I'm very much anti-Trump myself, but part of my frustration grows out of, where was all this energy and all this zeal and all this planning and organization capacity, ability? Why is it after the horse has left the barn, so to speak? Where was all this energy beforehand? And if you have all this massive ability to demonstrate, and I agree with everything you said, Wendy, but you should be talking to your state representatives, your senators, because that's the way to go around Trump. He doesn't care about numbers. He cheated people, and when he was building his casinos, he doesn't give a darn.
Well, there were protesters before the election, but in my own personal opinion, and jump in here, Steve or Bill, no one expected him to win.
Very few expected him to win.
Yeah, I can't say no one.
Yeah.
Good point.
Right. I think closer to the end, it looked like he might have won, or he was more of a threat. So, I mean, still have the march and demonstrate that, but I myself would not expect a lot of attention from the Trump machine out of it. And what my fear about that is, people like to feel good, they like to feel they've done something, but this doesn't really accomplish anything. Letters to your state reps and your senators and meeting with them in person, that might actually accomplish something.
What will that accomplish, like, for instance?
For example, because some of them are coming up for re-election in 2 years. So if they know that, if they can put names and faces together and know that people are saying to them, you had best listen to the people or you will be dumped out of office. But for here, all they see is a big march, but with no names or faces. They're not getting any, they may not be getting any phone calls themselves. If people at the march are using this opportunity to organize and capture email addresses and, you know, to move forward with another coalition, hey, great. But right now, I don't hear anything about that.
Well, thank you, Mark. And there are people that are going to attend this, and we'll see why they got involved.
All right. Thank you. Great show. I love the
show.
Thanks,
Mark. Appreciate it. Remember when Donald Trump, made an appearance in Chicago, and this would have been, maybe a month before the actual election, there was a huge presence of people who wanted him to know that.
Outside Trump Tower.
I mean, right outside of Trump Tower. Yeah, and that went on for hours. So,
yeah.
And similar things happened. There were demonstrations in other cities. So this did exist prior to the election. It's not just happening now for the first time.
Although I feel like that, since it was before the election, might have had a bigger impact than this.
Now.
That's all.
But it ended up not. He won.
Right.
I mean, it was opposition, which I guess part of the goal was, but it didn't alter things.
Let's see why Deborah's walking. Hi, Deborah. How are you?
I'm fine.
You're going to participate on Saturday?
I am. I'm driving 5 hours so I can participate. I'm a 60-year-old grandmother of 5 children. One is special needs and is 3 years old. My heart broke when I saw what the future president did with that report, special needs reporter. That could have been my granddaughter in 30 years. My heart is breaking for my grandchildren's future. 3 of them are daughters, and this 60-year-old woman's never done anything like this in her entire life, but it's time to take a stand.
And it feels good, doesn't it, that you're going out there to participate?
It does. Do I think that it's going to change things? I, like the person that was talking before, it may not, but hopefully our representatives, our senators, the future president will see the numbers, and they'll see. And if nothing else, maybe it'll be to where we can change it at some point. I have to do this for my grandchildren.
What can I ask really quickly, because I'm so curious, because I was going to ask you the question, have you ever done anything like this before? And you said, no, this is your first time doing anything like this. Was there something that put you over the edge where you just said, all right, that's it, that's the last straw, now I have to do this?
My special needs granddaughter, I looked at her and thought, if she was older, I would have to explain when she sees a picture of our future president making fun of a special needs reporter, and I expect her to respect the office of the president. How do I do that? If that could have been her, he would have been making fun of. It touched home too close to this mom. Plus the fact that Betsy, the person that may be charging our education, what's she going to do for our special needs in public schools? My son and daughter-in-law cannot afford private schools, and we depend on this. My little 3-year-old granddaughter is going to start preschool Monday because of her special needs. What are we going to do, and what is she going to do if the funding is taken away for that?
These are all great reasons, Deborah. Drive safely, okay?
We will. Thank you so much.
Have a good weekend, Deborah. Thanks.
I like to hear why people are going.
Sure.
Kathy, why are you going?
Hi. Well, yeah, I'm involved in a group out in the western suburbs that is trying to resist some of Trump's agenda. And I think the Women's March has really expanded to encompass a lot of other issues. And as far as, like, the caller before last about, like, calling your representatives, we have been. We've been calling every day all of our representatives. So you don't just march. You can do all these other things. Another thing I want to say is that I'm not proud of this, but I think before Trump was elected, I know for myself and my friends, we were kind of living in, like, a liberal bubble because I'm kind of, like, active in LGBTQ rights as well. And, you know, gay marriage was passed. And I was out there, a proponent of it and all that, but not as hard as I could have been. And so when Trump was elected, yeah, we were all shocked. And so that's not going to happen again, never again. Now I'm much more, and I'm almost 60 years old myself. And now I just see so much momentum that we're not going to be sitting on our behinds anymore. We're out there saying, no, you know, we're going to get out there, a whole ton of us, and just start fighting for what we think is right, peacefully, of course.
Yeah,
of course. And Kathy, if I may just ask you, when you have been calling the representatives, and I've seen phone numbers all over Facebook to call your representative, what exactly are you saying to them? That you don't want these cuts, that you want women to be taken care of, you want special needs, LGBTQ, what have you been telling them?
Well, basically, I've been saying why I don't want some of these people appointed. And I've been saying who, and I've been saying why. My understanding is it's better if you're specific. And why I'm against, I'm pro-choice, but not just blanket. And I'm trying to be eloquent as much as I can be.
Right, I get it.
Why? You know, and that I'm much more informed than I was even 2 or 3 weeks ago, to be honest with you. I really did have my head in the sand. And again, I'm not proud of it, but it was a wake up call to me, this election, a real big wake up call that I needed. So yeah, I'm going to go out and march. I'm going to make my voice heard, but that's not all I'm doing. Okay. I'm doing a lot more than I used to. And that's what I think democracy is about. And the country's about is that citizens can be involved. And I even read a Facebook post that people that live in Washington and take the train are hearing the staffers on the train saying that they're so frustrated because the call lines are just flooding, you know, it's just off the hook. And sometimes I try to call and you get that sound. It's like a beep, beep, beep. And they say all circuits are busy.
Yeah.
Now. You can't even get voicemail. So I think it is working. And it's like somebody said, these people are up for re-election. They want to be elected. So that's what we can do. And that's kind of what the country was founded on.
Keep being a proud American, Kathy. We appreciate it.
Well, I'm doing everything I can. And
it
that's
sounds
all I
like
can
it.
Do.
Good. Excellent. Thank you, Kathy. Appreciate the call.
Can we just take, I'm going to do one more and then we can take a break, Kevin. Karen, your thoughts on this?
Hi there. Enjoy your show.
Another butt coming.
What I say is two words. Who cares at this point? Now,
from what direction? Who cares from what direction? From which direction?
I'm taking from the stand of Trump.
Yeah.
I am a supporter of Trump.
Yeah.
Who cares about this? Where were you when you needed to vote? Where was all this action that you had to have happens too late? I say, who cares? Give it a rest.
But you know, Karen, there are people who can't give it a rest, who don't agree with what he stands for and the character of the man. And don't they have a right to assemble and show their dissatisfaction?
Well, people have the right to do that exactly. We're a democracy. Absolutely they do. But at this point, where were they? Where were they? I mean, the public school situation that the lady described for her three-year-old granddaughter. I mean, be glad that the public school is in place as it is. Trump's a charter guy, but he's not going to be able to turn his back on the public schools. You know, I mean, everybody wants everything. Everybody wants to or feels the entitlement of whatever it is. The frustration that I have is, where was this before? So to that end, I say, well, okay, fine, a day downtown, who cares? It isn't going to make a hill of beans difference.
All right.
And I'm a cynic. I'm sorry. I'm going to let Trump have at it, see where it goes.
Yeah.
It's got to
be there's
better.
Nothing else we can do. We all have to let him have at it.
Well, yeah, absolutely. I listened yesterday for 40 minutes to your show, Ro, afterward.
Yeah.
And all it was about, haha, the balls.
Inaugural balls. That's what they were talking about.
Of course.
Watch your language, Karen.
But I listened to 40 minutes of that, you know, and I called the comment line this morning on it, and I said, do you really think that that's that important?
Right.
It's not funny after a couple times.
Right.
You got to step up here and get some better quality. And when I see happening tomorrow, you know, I say, who cares? Thanks for the time.
Sure.
I appreciate it.
Thank you, Karen.
Well, if she cares or she wouldn't have called in, right?
You know,
everybody cares.
Honestly, if the tables were turned, had Hillary Clinton won and there was a big movement of Trump people saying, hey, we've got to show that we don't like that Hillary Clinton won and we're going to march and we're going to demonstrate, I would say to myself, well, I don't know what'll come of it. Like I'm saying in this case,
right.
But who cares wouldn't be the two words I would use to sum it all up, because we have to care. I mean, like it or not like it, not caring, apathy isn't the right way to play.
At least 50,000 some appear to care quite a bit.
And that's just in Chicago. They're expecting like over 200,000 people.
Nationwide.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So a lot of people care. And again, Karen, and if you're listening, you care because you called about it.
Right.
And talking about the inaugural balls, I got to put inaugural in front of it. Sorry. I don't work blue.
Right.
That's what everybody's talking about, because that's what's in the news and that's what's currently happening. And tomorrow we will be running Donald Trump talking, because we're all in this together. But yeah, the who cares is not the way to go. And Karen, I think you do care.
All right, let's take a quick break and then on to your calls and texts, 312-981-7200. It's Bill and it's Wendy on WGN. It's Bill Leff and it's Wendy Snyder. Steve from Blue's Clues later on in the show. Not here, not during our political discussion, but after the political discussion, Steve from Blue's Clues, will catch up with him.
All right. We only have time for a couple more calls. Debbie is on the line. Hi, Debbie. And Bridget, hang on if you can. We'll get to you as well. Go ahead, Debbie.
Hi, Wendy and Bill. I'm actually going to the march in Washington. And I'm going to, just like other callers have said, to hold President-elect Trump's feet to the fire. But I'm also going because I think this is a statement about the need to continue to move the women's movement forward rather than backward. It's 2017, and we're still fighting about equal pay. Sexual assault and domestic violence are often blamed on the victim.
Right.
Women should have a right to choose what has done to their bodies. To me, it's really sad that we even have to have a women's march in this day and age. And God forbid that we go backward instead of forward. So that's why I'm going to raise our voice in unity for women of all colors and of all sexual orientations, that there's a united voice and united with men who stand with women as
good,
well.
Good. And Debbie, you didn't even mention the defunding of Planned Parenthood, which I'm sure enters into your thoughts here. I'm curious, though, you knew there was a demonstration going on here in Chicago, and yet you opted to do the farther one, the bigger one in Washington, D.C. Why?
Because I think it's important to be right there at the Capitol. and to be seen and make that area strong. Though I think it's also really important that there are so many different events happening across the country, and that it's not just a one location event, and that all the women's movements are actually one voice. But the strong, for me, the stronger place to be was in Washington, right there in front of the Capitol.
All right, good.
Safe travels to you, and thank you so much for your point of view. We appreciate it, Debbie.
Thank you.
Thanks.
All right, and it's not like we're taking one-sided calls. Just a lot of people weren't calling, except for you, Bridget. So go ahead. You have the spotlight.
Hi, guys. How are you?
Good.
I'm a millennial, and I've been standing up for Trump since day one. And I just wanted to call to kind of give my opinion as well that there are people, you know, of the younger crowd that do stand up for Trump. And I'm just, I guess it's kind of frustrating that so many people are against him. I mean, he is our president now. I mean, they're still as against him from now than they were, like, during the debates and during everything. And I think just as, like, as the USA, we need to get together. I mean, he is not, he's not a Nazi. He's not against anybody, really. I just feel like people are just kind of want their own spotlight, the LGBT. I'm totally in support of everything. Women's rights, LGBT, I'm all that, but I'm also a Trump supporter. So I feel like when I was listening just maybe 20 minutes ago when you had the caller talking about their grandchild that is also has disabilities and stuff, and she fears for her. I just don't think that's fair because Trump is not going to do anything against the people with disabilities. He's actually going to stand up for them. And it's just, it's just hard to hear that people think that he's so bad when he's not. And he thinks that people think that he's not going to stand up for women's rights. His daughter is doing a big, huge thing for women's rights and for stay-at-home mothers and child care. Like, none of this is lifted up. Like, why don't we, as the USA, lift up all the good things that he is going to do for our country?
Bridget, if he does do good things and the country turns around and operates better, I will be the first person to go, wow, I was wrong.
Well, and then I want to say also, like, going back to the woman with the granddaughter with the disability and how everybody was saying, oh, he made fun of that reporter, you know, mocking him. If everybody would really look into the details of it, Trump didn't actually necessarily mock that reporter's disability. Did he mock the reporter? Yes. Did he mock his disability? No.
Why do you say no? Why do you believe that he did not mock his disability?
He did an impression of him which highlighted the disability.
Because if you watch the actual speech that he was giving, he didn't hold his hand like, oh, look at this guy. Look at how he's walking. Look at how he's talking. He was I don't even want to use the word making fun of, but he was over-exaggerating hand gestures that he also did multiple times in different speeches, talking about state generals in the Army that, you know, he felt let us down quite a bit and, you know, how our Army needs to be built up and all these other things. So what the news did was they took a clip, they froze him in his hand gesture movement, and then they took a picture of the reporter with the disability having to look like the same exact stance, like the same exact like gesture, like silhouette, when in fact he wasn't making fun of the disability. And then people want to run off with that and say, oh, he's against people with disabilities and he makes fun of people and he hates people. And I just don't think it's fair that it seems like the media and everything is so one-sided.
But
from what I get when I turn the TV on is most Americans don't like Trump, when in fact I don't think that's fair.
But, well, the numbers show otherwise, though. They show that it's a 40% right now approval rating as he enters the office. But, Bridget, you have to admit, when he did that impression of the reporter, he was stammering and he was shaking and he was doing all the things to characterize that there was a disability involved. You did hear and see that, didn't you?
No, and absolutely. And I can see where they were going for, where they were going with that. I get that. But if you watch other speeches that he's given, he does the same thing about other people that he doesn't disapprove, that he disapproves of. It wasn't, if he said, hey, what's with this guy, you know.
Well, he didn't have to say it, really, you know. But see, that's, Bridget, that's what makes this world go round, because we're both seeing the same thing and have a different opinion. But
no, and I agree. But I, and just as, you know, myself, I just felt like
I appreciate you taking my call. I appreciate you letting me voice my opinion and letting people know that there are a lot of people out there that do stand for.
Sure.
And the last thing I want to say is, it's hard for me as a Trump supporter because I wholeheartedly believe in him, and at the same time, I'm judged as a racist, a homophobe, somebody who, it's just like everything when they hear Trump. And you're a Trump supporter, it's almost like not safe to go out and say you're a Trump supporter, which is not fair because I'm none of those things.
And there are a lot of people that aren't, and maybe you do get a bad rap for being a Trump supporter, and it's just the character of the man is hard to stomach for me, quite
but
honestly.
We're so late, but I'm just very, very curious about one thing. You kind of stood up for Mr. Trump in the way he talks about women and things, but aside from just the Billy Bush episode, on several occasions, whenever he's talked about Rosie O'Donnell or so many other women, Carly Fiorina, he's addressed them by their looks and by the way he thinks that they're not attractive. If your father spoke that way, if your boyfriend or husband spoke that way, if your son spoke that way, what would you think of them?
I mean, I will say that there were a few things inappropriate that he has done. I will say also that he has toned it down quite a bit from when that had happened. I mean, they reached in for tapes that were years ago that he made comments that were inappropriate. He was in the limelight. He was a celebrity. He was a superstar, however you want to say it. So, I mean, I just thinking back like that and going after his words, I just don't think it's fair. I see where you're coming from. I see how some words were disturbing. At the same time, I just feel like we need to give him a chance. He's toned it. He's toned himself down. He's going to be presidential. He's saying he's going to be a president for all people. I just wish that it would be more, people would be a little more accepting and at least allow him to show us.
Well, if he does it, we will definitely be more accepting, that's for sure. And thank you so much for calling, because it just doesn't seem fair in America in 2017 that you have to defend who you're supporting. But you did it. Thank you so much for calling. We appreciate it.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
All right. Let's do this. Thanks to everybody who called and texted in. I wish we could have gotten more in, but, we did what we could there. We'll take a break, then some news, then more show. Bill and Wendy, WGN.
We gotta find a paw print. That's the first clue. We put it in a notebook, and now what do we do? Blues, 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 blues.
Can I tell you something?
Yes.
I'm too excited. I can't talk.
I know. You usually like to take the intros on this. You threw it on me.
I can't do it.
I never thought in a million years when I was watching Blue's Clues with my now teenage boys and your 20-year-old daughters, did you ever think we'd be talking to Steve from Blue's Clues?
I dreamed it a million times. I never thought it'd be a reality, and here it is.
Steve Burns.
It's happening.
Oh, my God.
Steve, it's happening right now.
Can we just pay you the biggest compliment? And I'm sure you've heard this from plenty of people. We would watch Blue's Clues with our kids. We're not married to each other. We're married to different people. And then when the kids were out of the room, both Bill and myself, we'd find ourselves watching Blue's Clues alone without the kids. That's how good it was.
That's a little weird, though.
It is kind of weird.
That's a bit strange. You know, you show it for 3 to 5 year olds, right?
We know that.
We're kids at heart.
Steve, I told Wendy this the other day. I'm not one who swears very much, but one day after you left and your brother, quote unquote, Joe, came on the show, I was watching the show by myself and I went, this is bull. And I swore and I turned the TV off. I said, if Steve can't be on the show anymore, I'm done with the Blue's Clues.
He's such a great guy.
He is a good guy.
He's not that great. I mean,
he
is no you. No one worked a green screen like you. I'm telling you.
Yeah, I tease and I say it's a little Van Hagar, it's not quite the same thing, but he's a super great guy, a good friend of mine.
All right,
well, we have to put all the rumors to rest, because when Steve Burns went away from Blue's Clues, there were a lot of rumors that were out there, like you died.
Yeah.
In Vietnam, okay. Some people said.
Oh, really?
You weren't even born during the Vietnam conflict.
Some people said, you are a musician and you wanted to pursue your musical interests and that's why you bailed. But none of those are true. Neither of those.
No, neither of those are true. Although the being a musician is closer to the truth than being dead. I When I left Blues Clues, when it was over, I did have the opportunity to lifetime to work with my favorite band and go on tour with them. But that was incidental, you know, or coincidental, sorry. That was coincidental. That wasn't the reason for leaving Blues Clues. So.
And I know we'll talk about Steven, which is going on right now. You and Steven Drozd, a Grammy Award-winning musical mastermind behind the Flaming Lips, and we'll talk about that. But really, why did you leave?
You know, it was just time to go. I it's difficult for people to appreciate, I think, but I mean, I was really the only actor in every take of every shot every day on a blue screen. And it was pretty demanding stuff, you know, and I did it every bit as long as I could do it. And also, you know, there was a real sense that the show was changing and that when we all started, it was kind of like a punk rock band, you know, it's just a small group of people. And they were all moving on to different careers and moving on to other exciting things in children's television. And it just felt like the right time to do it. It really is that simple. You know, there was, and there was sort of a sense that I felt personally that I was inhabiting this weird space on that show where I was maybe your older brother, maybe your weird neighbor, but kind of a kid,
yeah,
not really an adult,
yeah.
You know, something, you know, we were kind of inhabiting a strange little space there. And I was losing my hair rapidly because when it just started to go like super fast. And I think I kind of looked around at my wardrobe and thought, there's no way these people are giving me any sort of dignified wig. So,
so that was that. You got along with Blue, though, right? Because that was the other rumor, that you and Blue did not see eye to eye. But that's ridiculous. It was an animated figure there. So.
She's a pleasure. She was a pleasure to work with. She really was consummate professional.
What do you think it was about you that made people like Wendy and myself, even after our kids moved on to other shows, we wanted to keep watching you on the show? What were you doing that just captured our imaginations, do you think?
Well, I don't know. I would like to flatter myself and think that it was sincerity.
Yeah.
And it was definitely a lot of extra detail that I was putting in there that isn't usually, I think, seen in kids' TV very often. And a lot of it wasn't me. I mean, a lot of it was just the brilliance of the show itself, you know, that I did not create. You know, there was an enormous amount of silence that we allowed to occur in Blue's Clues, and that's very arresting.
Mm-hmm.
Which is kind of unheard of, like in radio and TV. Yeah. You don't usually have dead air.
You really don't, and you avoid it like the plague. You see what I just did there?
Mm-hmm.
In Blues Clues, we tried to use it as an asset whenever we could. It was one of the things that really attracted me to the show, actually. I thought it was so cool that we were going to actually get quiet on TV, you know?
Well, just, you know, I know kids thought that you were talking directly to them, but I kind of did, too. And I'm not the only woman, because People Magazine, you made their list of most eligible bachelors. And if you go to themoth.com and listen to Steve Burns talking about his date with a swimsuit model, a Playboy bunny, what was her deal? Because it's very interesting.
She was a model, but she had done modeling for Playboy, among other things.
Mm.
She was just a very, very beautiful person who was a model.
Did you have to look for clues about her? How did that play out?
Center my business. The way it played out is she sent me a picture, a very decent picture, just basically like a headshot.
Sure.
But she was clearly so gorgeous, and I thought it was a joke, obviously. There's no way that this person is sending me this picture. But, you know, my friend's kind of convinced. You can hear it all on The Moth, which I think is .org.
Yeah.
But you can hear the whole story there. It's actually pretty funny.
It is really funny.
It doesn't end with any sort of public dignity for me. but it is very funny.
And I love hearing about the thinking chair in a different light. So, yes, check that out on The Moth.
Yeah, the thinking chair, I'm actually looking at it right now. They gave me the original one, and it sits here in my little study. and I still use it all the time. That's where I read books for the most part.
Perfect. We're talking with Steve Burns from Blue's Clues, one of my favorite shows and Wendy's favorite shows as our children were growing up and beyond. Visit stevensteven.com. All the information is there about Steve Burns' music. We're going to take a quick break, and then more with Steve Burns from Blue's Clues coming up next. Bill and Wendy, WGN. You know what? If this were The Voice, I would have spun my chair around already right now. That's how much I like this song.
Steve Burns on the line, and that's Steven right there. You've got a great singing voice, sir.
Oh, I so don't, but that's so nice of you to say. I mean, it takes me 150 years to sing a song that simple. I mean, I really can't sing. if it weren't for recording studios, it would simply never happen.
Now, how did you hook up
with? I wish I could sing.
You can. You're going to be your own worst critic on this. Steven consists of Steve Burns and Steven Drozd from the Flaming Lips. How long have you guys been doing work together?
Well, he and I made a record of my own personal adult music in 2003.
Adult music.
That got actually really good reviews that I think really just my mom and sister bought. we became friends then, and really good friends. I went on tour with the Flaming Lips and opened for them. And we just became buddies, really, and we stayed in touch. And then Nickelodeon asked me to write a song about a groundhog. And I asked Steven if he would help me, and we wrote a Groundhog Day song, and it took about 10 minutes, and it was about the most fun we ever had. And while we were writing it, we actually stopped and said, we really need to make a whole record.
Beautiful.
Like this, because we just had such a good time. And it took us forever to release the record because, you know, he's raising a family in Oklahoma, and he's in a giant rock band, so we kind of had to do it on weekends when we both had time. So it kind of became the Chinese Democracy of children's albums, I guess.
And Steve, does your past come up often when you're touring, when you're doing jobs? Do people say, hey, we love what you're doing now, but boy, you meant so much to us not that long ago? That must come up a bit, huh?
It does, and I love it.
Good.
It's great. And it's actually the further away I get from Blue's Clues, because that really does to me, it seems like several lifetimes ago.
Yeah.
At this point. But it just seems like such a gift that, I mean, people really appreciated that show. And from my perspective, I was working in an environment that just felt like the bottom of a swimming pool, and I was all by myself. It seemed very small to me when we were doing it. You know, and now 20 years later to look back, and I recently just met someone who grew up on me, who has children who watch Blue's Clues. And, you know, after feeling extraordinarily old, it just felt awesome. You know, that's really cool. And I sometimes let myself think, you know, maybe I'm Grover to someone. it's just wonderful.
Yeah.
It's just great.
Well, to this day, when our mail arrives, I say to myself, we just got a letter. Let's find out who it's from. I can't help myself.
Well, here's something, you know, there are many ways in which my real life differs from that of Steve from Blue's Clues, but one of the most profound ways is that I don't like getting mail. I really don't. I mean, when I would much rather receive email than physical mail.
Oh.
Well, yeah, because it's usually a bill, isn't it?
It feels like homework. You know, it feels like what? What do you want from me?
Yeah.
What? What do I have to do with this?
It is a pleasure meeting you, and I am so glad that you are fond and have fond memories of your time at Blue's Clues, because there are a lot of celebrities that don't want to remember where they came. And you do, and you're you're rocking it with Steven Steven. You can pre-order the For Everywhere album in advance of its February 24th release, and we do that at stevensteven.com.
That's right.
Will you come and see us when you're in Chicago? Come sit in the studio with us.
Sure thing.
We would love that.
We're
big fans.
I love Chicago.
Steve, thanks for being on with us. Greatly appreciated, and continued success to you.
Thanks, guys. Have a great day.
You too.
You as well.
That's Steve Burns, Steve from Blues Clues, and now an accomplished musician.
And go to themoth.org, I think he said.
To hear his story.
And just Google it, you know, Steve Burns with Playboy. It is just the way he tells a story. The whole thing about themoth.org is just storytelling. It's a storytelling podcast and website. Mm-hmm. And he does such a great job to this day. It's just he does such a good job. Yeah. I'm a little smitten.
You should be. We'll take a break and then some news from the other Steve B., our favorite Steve B., and we say that because he's close by.
Thank you, Steve. It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. And Steve, of course, in the newsroom has Steve Bertrand Travel. Mm-hmm. And I know he's come across that awesome Frommer's Tour Guides books. Like when I went on my honeymoon, bought Frommer's Guide to Maui. Mm-hmm. Going with the kids to Disney. Frommer's Guide to Orlando and Disney World, Universal.
I was in Displains over the weekend, Wendy, and I bought Frommer's Guide to Displains and learned a lot about it.
Pauline Frommer in the studio with us, editor of the Frommer Guides. And you are in town in advance of the 2017 Travel and Adventure Show, which is happening at the Donald E. Stevens Convention Center. Welcome. How are you?
I am doing great. I'm always so thrilled to be in Chicago because it's a city where I know I'm going to eat well and I'm going to meet smart people. And there's always something to see and do here. It's just a great place to be.
It is a pretty... Do you have a Frommer's Guide to Visiting Chicago?
We do. It's written by... All our guides are written by locals. We hire local journalists in Chicago. That's Kate Silver. She and I are going to get very drunk tonight.
Excellent.
And she wrote a beautiful book. You'll learn stuff about Chicago you didn't know. She has a real talent for weaving in the history and the culture and just bringing the city to life.
When she's selling our city, we live here, so we know what there is to see and do. But for people who had never been here, what's the selling point to the city?
Is it the
food?
Well, the food is
the people, the
architecture.
Is a big part of it. She told me that we have to eat seafood in a bag
tonight. Oh, I know what you're talking about.
That's like a big thing.
You've had that, haven't you?
Yeah, I've had that.
You boil up seafood and it's served to you in a bag.
Everything's
I don't think that's the reason to come to Chicago,
no,
I gotta say.
Maybe not. Wear a towel, by the way, if you've never been to this place. Yeah, because it's really messy. It's delicious, but it's really messy.
Okay, good to know. Yeah. Good to know. But I don't know. It's Millennial Park.
Millennium Park.
Oops.
Right. That's
I just
all right.
gave it to one generation.
They're too lazy to take it from you.
Stop it. We're bashing the millennials. Our producer's a millennial. How does it feel to have your Frommer guides be like the Bible of anyone traveling anywhere?
Bless you. Well, it's a family-owned business and kind of an accidental one. My father was drafted into the army during the Korean War.
Mm-hmm.
And he's a son of immigrants. His father was German. His mother was Russian. Neither of them ever spoke English very well. So he was always translating for them. They spoke Yiddish together.
Mm-hmm.
And so they discovered his language skills. And instead of being sent to Korea, he was sent to Berlin.
Mm.
And this was after World War II. All of Europe was in rubble.
Mm-hmm.
His fellow GIs were too nervous to leave the base. And he thought, well, I'm going to do it. And he traveled all over. And he self-published a little book. And it changed his life. The first one was called The GI's Guide to Europe.
Yeah.
And the next one was Europe on $5 a Day. He's 87 now. So it's the 60th anniversary of the books. And he and I still run the business together.
That's awesome.
Was he the first, because those books, the insert name of city on $5 a day, that became a huge, huge thing.
That was his thing.
That was his deal.
Yeah,
wow.
That was his deal. He was kind of the first American to say, you do not need to spend a bundle to enjoy Europe or other destinations.
Mm-hmm.
People thought, if I don't save my entire life and bring a big steamer trunk and only stay at the best hotels, I'll be unsafe in Europe, and that just never was the case. Mm. What's best is just sitting in a cafe and watching the world go by and talking to Europeans, and that's what travel's about.
Yep.
What I love so much about the Frommer Guides, and my youngest son Dylan is 14 now, and when we were going to Disney, we had been a bunch of times, but his very first time, he got the Frommer Guide to Disney World and took notes, and everybody does that, even as adults. I mean, really.
Well, you know, there was a study once done about happiness and travel, and they found that people are happiest before their vacation. Because they're dreaming about it and they're reading about the place, and it kind of infuses their life with expectation. They're second happiest on the vacation.
Yeah.
And then it really does nothing for your life afterwards.
Oh, that's too bad.
You're not that much happier afterwards. But heck, you had the good time on the vacation and before.
But there's so much pressure because for most of us, we save for it for a year and we look forward to it all year.
Right.
And, you know, a lot of times it's only 7 to 10 days, so we really want it to be magical start to
finish.
Well,
the tragic thing is most Americans aren't even taking their vacation days. I think we're so nervous about missing out on work or, you know.
Or getting replaced when you take a vacation.
And so, you know, people aren't traveling at all. And this is the golden age for travel right now for a couple of reasons. The dollar is whooping every world currency. You just go across the border to Canada. Mm-hmm. The loonie used to be at par with the dollar. You now get $1.30 to the loonie. So
it's called a loonie. I love that.
You know, because they have a loonie bird on it.
Uh-huh.
So the Canadian dollar, I should say more formally. But everything in Canada is 30% off. The euro is almost at par. You used to have to pay $1.50 for a euro.
Yeah.
The British pound was crashed by Brexit. The Japanese yen has lost a third of its value. And not only that, there are these new airlines that are coming in, like Norwegian Air and XL and WOW Airlines, that are making it cheaper to fly to Europe than it is to fly right now from, like, New York to L.A.
Isn't that something?
And there's a lot of Asian discounts, too, a lot of new carriers to Asia.
We're going to take a quick break. We're talking with Pauline Frommer, and she's going to be at the 13th Annual Chicago Travel and Adventure Show. It runs January 21st through the 22nd at the Donald D. Stevens Convention Center. You can go to travelshows.com. You can also go to frommers.com. Double M, sorry, we said Frommers before,
right.
And we were corrected by the Frommer herself, Pauline. When we come back, we'd like to talk about some of the good destinations to hit now. 312-981-7200 if you have a question or comment. It's Bill and Wendy, 720 WGN.
It's Bill Leffin, it's Wendy Snyder. Pauline Frommer is in studio with us. She's the editor of the Frommer Guides. For decades, they have been the ultimate travel guides anywhere you're going in the world. What are some of the hot spots, Pauline, for 2017?
Well, as I said earlier, all our guides are written by local journalists, and every year we say to them, which places will really be special this year? And so we have the list up on Frommers.com, and some of them might surprise you, like Paris. Paris seems like a very ordinary destination. Everybody knows about Paris, but the fact is Paris has lost 30% of its tourism since the attacks.
Mm-hmm. And I believe it.
Yeah. And I was there in June. I was in the Louvre. In certain rooms, I was all alone. Mm. I was able to get reservations to great restaurants on the spot.
Really?
And the French were happy to see me. How often does that happen to Americans? My father would disagree. He loves Paris. But with the euro as inexpensive as it is. And I'm a native New Yorker. I know personally that a place can be attacked and then can come back mm-hmm. and be perfectly safe. And, you know, you go see Hamilton, you'll see France was our earliest ally. I want to support the French. So go to Paris. So that's one of them. Another is Karajok, Norway. That's because this year is going to be one of the best years ever for the Northern Lights.
Oh, yeah, I've read about that.
And that is, it's right on the Arctic Circle. It's inland, so you don't get clouds. Mm-hmm. You get splendid lights viewing. And it's also part of this community that's part of the indigenous Norwegian community. They have indigenous people just like we do. So you're going to spend your days with reindeer herders or dog sledding. But the reason why you have to go this year is the Northern Lights are based on the sun's particles hitting the Earth's atmosphere, and they get thrown off when there are sunstorms, and the sunstorms happen in 10-year cycles. 2017 is the last year in that cycle. Hmm. So if you don't do it this year, you're going to have to wait another 10. so
Is there a month or a couple of months where those are at their optimal time where you really see the best show, or is it from
right
now?
January, February, March. Okay. That's when you're going to see the best show. You can see them in Alaska.
Yeah.
You can see them in Iceland, and you know, if you're far north, but in Karasjok, you're pretty much guaranteed.
Norway's the way to do.
You know, the Japanese go to Alaska because they to watch the Northern Lights because they believe that a baby conceived under the Northern Lights will be lucky all their life.
So you got to watch where you step.
Yeah, there'll be a lot of blankets.
So you have a lot of Japanese honeymooners.
All right,
bizarrely.
We'll be careful.
But you say now's a good time to go. Are there specials and places you can go to get last-minute travel deals?
Sure. I mean, there are less last-minute deals nowadays on airfares. I mean, anybody who's been on an airline knows every seat is filled. They've become very good at that. But if you can drive somewhere, there are great hotel deals. There are great deals on alternative lodgings. I mean, the hotel chains are in trouble. Airbnb has more beds than every major hotel chain combined.
And wow, that has changed.
Yeah, so a huge sea change in the lodging industry. And that has meant that prices are going down. And you can get good deals in many places. In most business cities, you'll get the best deals over the weekends.
Yeah.
Sunday night is always the cheapest. Tuesday night is always the most expensive night of the week in a city like Chicago or New York.
Why would that be? Why would Tuesday night be the most expensive night?
Business meetings.
Is that what it is?
Yeah. They're going to rook the business travel.
Oh, I guess so. Years ago, there was a travel expert sitting exactly where you're sitting. And
there was another
It was a different travel expert, okay. A heretic, some loon we just brought in off the street. And he said that you can make your own price at almost any hotel. So you can say, give me your best price.
I know
price.
Who this
You know
travel,
who this guy is?
Does his name start with Peter?
I'm 0-3 in trying that. I've said, yeah, well, that's your price. Well, here's what I'm paying. And they say, well, find a different place because you can't do that here.
Yeah, it doesn't work. I mean, the people behind the desk don't have the ability. They don't have the seniority to...
They're not the owner of the hotel.
They're not the owner of the hotel.
Yeah.
Yeah, he says things like that.
He also convinced me to steal a Toyota. That's a different... we'll talk about that another time. But how about that?
But there are very good last-minute sources for hotel rooms, like Bidding Blind on Priceline or Hotwire.
But you don't know which hotel you're staying at when
you... can so easily game that system.
Can you really?
There's another site called biddingtraveler.com that just volunteers go to spill the beans on what they paid and which hotels they got. And they have a historic list of that, and it's always the same one over and over and over and over.
Really?
I was doing a book on Hawaii. As I said, we always use local authors. This local author was brilliant at beaches, attractions, restaurants, but his hotel descriptions were terrible. So I dive bombed into the big island of Hawaii, and I had to go to an area called the Gold Coast, where every hotel is $400, $500 a night.
Yeah.
And I was pulling my hair out because I needed a budget option. And I went to Bidding Traveler, and I found out that pretty much every night of the last year, while it had said it was going for $349 a night on every single hotel site, through Priceline, it was going for $149.
Really?
That was the Hilton Waikoloa Village.
Oh, that's a great hotel.
Because it has like 500 words. Well, I hope you got a good deal.
It was our honeymoon, so we didn't care at that point.
Okay, good.
You mentioned going to Norway to see the Northern Lights.
Yep.
I'm a big fan of Nashville, Tennessee.
Yes.
Haven't been there before. Have been there now. You can go there to see the solar eclipse this coming summer?
Yes, the solar eclipse is happening. I think it's July 21st. That's going to be the only city that's right in its path. So you go there, and then you go and celebrate the 50th anniversary of the Country Music Hall of Fame, the 125th anniversary of the Ryman Auditorium. So there's going to be it's always a city exploding with music, and not just country music, all types.
Oh, it's everything.
Everything. But you go there, you enjoy the music, you enjoy the hot chicken.
That is so hot. Trust me, get the mild and it's still hot.
Really?
Yeah. But even beyond that, it's one of the most sophisticated dining scenes in the world. And my favorite thing to do there, it's really silly, but they have a full-scale replica of the Parthenon.
Oh.
In Nashville.
They do.
And it's cool. It's really cool to walk around.
Why is it in Nashville?
Yeah. But it's hilarious. It's not only, it's not really hilarious. Actually, it's kind of fascinating.
It would be. We only have a minute, but yeah. I'm curious, with restrictions lifted on Cuba, is Havana, is this the time to go to Havana or all of Cuba, or should we wait a couple years?
This is the time to go, because President-elect Trump has said he's shutting the door, and he can do that by signing an executive order. Oh. I'll talk more about this at the travel show. I'm there at 3:30 on this Saturday, so I hope you'll come out to Rosemont.
All right.
Next time you're in Chicago, come see us again, won't you?
I'd love to. Thank you.
Her name is Pauline Frommer, and of course you recognize her from the Frommer Guides to Everything. Anywhere you're going, go pick up a Frommer Guide. Take notes. You'll love it. And once again, you can check out the 13th Annual Chicago Travel and Adventure Show this weekend, January 21st through the 22nd, Donald D. Stevens Convention Center. You will be there Saturday at 3:30.
Yeah.
Perfect. And you can also go to frommers.com. That's FROMMERS.com. Thank you so much. Happy travels.
A quick break. We'll find out what Rowan and Anna have next. Stick around. Bill and Wendy, WGN.